Ja, visst ska se ut under väster och finnas nät så ägga synne sur bekast du rövsäkna för att vara i bekast garan med gott.
Welcome to Rock Talk Happy Hour. My name is Mario, here with Kimberly, Britt, and Frank. This is a podcast where we talk craft beer and music. So every episode, we drink different craft beers. We try them out, we discuss them, and we rate them. Sometimes we learn a little bit about them, all while talking music-related topics. And if you're listening to this episode and it's Halloween, then happy Halloween, because right now we're recording on the 30th. So yes. Halloween is tomorrow for us. And this week's music topic is devil music. So anything horror related in music. And I actually came up with the title because when I was younger, to me, that's like a out of date, like, I guess, phrase or whatever. I don't know how to say it. But and when I was in middle school, I think I told this piece of this story on a different episode. I had a teacher who knew that I was like play guitar and stuff, and he knew what kind of music I listened to, and so he would always say, like, Frank knows who it is, but I'm not gonna mention his name. He would always like tell me, like, oh, like, why you play that devil music and stuff. And it's funny because, like, he would say it like jokingly but not jokingly, because when he would catch me by myself, he would get really serious about it. And it was, I was like, okay. And I mean, you know, obviously it had no effect on me, but but it was just so crazy because, like, he would like catch me like playing sometimes there was an extra room that was there where we were at, and I would play in there, and then he would be like, you need to stop playing that devil music and stuff, and explain to me why it was devil music. And to me, like, that always stuck in my head because I was like, I thought that was something that people didn't really say, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, this was like 2000. 2000. Yeah, really. And for someone to be hearing that like in the year 2000 to me was kind of weird. So I don't know if you guys have any experiences with
that. Yeah, people still say that.
Yeah, I know, but I never thought that. I thought it was like around, you know, when the whole backmasking thing happened, '80s, '70s, '60s.
When Kiss just came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's because maybe he just grew up in a traditional, I guess, religious way.
Definitely.
And a lot of the times, I think today nothing's really shocking anymore, so I don't even think they use that term, but I think every now and then it still pops up. But it's always been funny. Like,
did you guys have any experiences with people telling you stuff like that? Like, I mean,
yeah, actually my dad would tell me stuff, because I got really into, I think it was in 96 97, I was really into Spawn, and I was a big fan of the comics. I remember I went to go see the movie. My dad got me the soundtrack, and I guess my dad didn't really know much, you know. We saw the movie. He took me to go see the movie, but he fell asleep through it.
And you had the soundtrack, right?
And I had the soundtrack. The soundtrack was really good. And actually, the soundtrack, I guess, I don't know, it had like devil stuff in it. And so, and then after a while, I guess I got into Kiss for a little bit, and I started drawing like Kiss figures and hung them in my room.
And you were actually a Kiss reject, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I tried out for them back in 72. I didn't make the cut.
We have pictures. We'll post them on Instagram. No, just kidding.
But my dad was the one that told me I need to stop listening to devil music and whatnot.
So was it only the guys at the table that have had that experience? Like,
no.
The ladies y'all had?
Yeah, people tell you that too?
Oh, okay.
For sure.
So what are your...
Friends and...
Really?
Yeah.
Friends? Wow.
Friends that like other genres that don't understand.
They just don't get us.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know. Remember when we were at Slipknot? And we were trying to freak out Katie by sending her pictures of Behemoth.
So, okay. I don't know if you're familiar with Behemoth. Like, they have, like, face paint and stuff. And like after a lot of like,
you're listening,
after a lot of their songs and like especially at the end of their set, they're like, "Hail Satan!" Like, and so like, like they were like, there was one where he had like a little bowl with like a
fire,
and then like they had like a whole bunch of pyro, and we actually got pictures of that. We were sending them to her one because I don't think she's been to concert.
No, also. I don't know. Not like that.
Not like that. Okay, yeah. So we were sending her pictures,
like Chris Brown and stuff. If that gives you what she yeah, listening
and she's
to.
And she's all like, yeah. "What the fuck is going
she's
on?"
Like,
and
"Oh my god, that's so scary."
I still have those pictures too, but yeah, Behemoth was pretty badass. We saw him with Slipknot on the road show. Yeah, the Not Fest road show, yeah. last year when COVID wasn't around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, I just thought that phrase always was stuck in my head. And I was like, well, if we're going to be talking about stuff that's related to that, I mean, you know, I always thought it was funny. Like back when we were still doing stuff together, when I wanted to record an EP again, I actually wanted to call it that because of that. Like just as a punch. And there's actually some bands we'll get into later that actually did stuff like that on purpose just to just to play it up. Exactly. So with that said, I know Frank's gonna talk a little bit about backmasking in a bit, but before we kick off the episode, we usually first talk about what we're drinking, and we also talk a little hangover stuff that got left over from last episodes that we didn't get to talk about. No, Frank, you had a little something.
As far as a hangover goes, I discovered this week that Robert Trujillo, bassist for Metallica, was in an episode of Chips. He played the character of Flippy, and I checked out the video, and you know, I don't know, it was funny. It didn't look like Robert Trujillo though, but I guess that was him because I'm used to seeing him with his long hair.
Well, this was Chips. Whatnot. So what year was this? It was like early night? No,
it was like 82, late, 83.
Oh shit,
like
early 80s. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and in the episode, he played the older kid in a group of trick or treaters, and I think it was part of a community service program that he had to do. He had to go around the neighborhood with these group of trick or treaters, and in the scene specifically, they leave a house with, you know, their candies, and these punk ass kids, they show up in their bikes and they steal the candy from the kids. And Robert Trujillo manages to get one bike from one of those kids and chases the one guy, and they ride out into the highway. The one like punk ass kid causes like a highway collision, and Robert Trujillo's character like slides under an 18 wheeler and gas is pouring over him. And,
I gotta find that clip.
And Eric Estrada's character shows up and saves the day, like literally seconds before the whole thing blows up.
Of course. So I'm assuming was he in suicidal tendencies at this time?
I don't know. I mean, he was young. He was like 17, 18 when this episode came out.
That's weird. So then he was an actor who went into music. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so that was this Frank is referencing our episode that we had, which was musicians who went into, well, who had roles in TV.
Right,
film.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard that episode, go check it out.
Also, too, we were talking about LL Cool J earlier.
Oh, yeah, we were.
I think we mentioned
him. Yeah, we mentioned him, yeah.
But we did. It was Ice Cube that we forgot to mention, because tonight we watched Anaconda.
Oh, Anaconda. yeah, that was with J-Lo.
Hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so bad. My God.
Yeah, it is.
With J-Lo, also.
Yeah.
Artist, I forgot about musician, that. Yeah. Actress person. Yeah. I had a couple of other hangovers from that episode, too.
What else? Did you
Will Smith. Like, nobody mentioned Will Smith. Well,
I think he was on my list, but I didn't say him.
And then I have a hangover from last episode.
What was last episode?
The bands from places.
Oh, yeah, bands from places.
It's not one that we forgot. We mentioned Asia, but we failed to mention that Asia is a supergroup.
They are?
Yeah, I wrote that note down, but I forgot to write down who they include.
What?
Yeah, I think it's guys from Yes, maybe?
Yeah, they were a whole bunch of prog rockers, right?
Okay, I did not know
that. So, they're a supergroup. Let me see. Bunch of different...
Is it like Yes or something?
Yeah. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Yes, a couple dudes from Yes.
I did not
A guy
know
from
that.
King Crimson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot.
And a guy from who was in Yes and also the Buggles.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay, I did not know that.
You know, well, speaking of King Crimson, before we go off into the drinks that we're having, King Crimson, you know, their influences to Tool, and this week, Gibson announced a really big thing for Tool fans. An Adam Jones custom silver burst Les Paul. I'm not too excited about the price, though.
What is it, like $2,000?
It is a $10,000 guitar for a limited edition run of 179 guitars.
But $10,000? What the hell?
$10,000, yeah, because Gibson took the original 1979 that Adam Jones uses and replicated it 100%. And so they're making a very small batch of that particular guitar. But for the more budget-friendly run, which go for $6,000.
Oh, jeez.
Get the fly out of here.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane. I mean, I've seen some pretty expensive guitars, but those are like legit relics. Mm-hmm. They're like legit, like, you know, well, like
only 179 being made. It's going to be worth more than 10 grand pretty quick.
That's so weird. I mean, I understand that they're replicating like the, you know, his original one, but I mean, it's not the original one. You know what I mean? No. Like, that's insane, dude.
And I think it's just a guitar he picked up at a pawn shop and he's just stuck with it for like 30 years.
Oh, and they're going to sell a copy of it for $10,000.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't even play it. Did he sign it?
If he
fucking played it on a fucking tour, like on a show, you know,
or if he licked it
or if he licked it or so, yeah, like sure, no, I'd understand. Yeah. But
no, the ones that are limited batch are they got
those are signed.
They have the signature on it, and they're like number stamped also.
Oh, but that's the signature. Like that's the production signature.
No, I think it's
his actual signature.
It's his actual signature on the headstock.
Because I've seen the production signatures before. Okay, I mean, I guess if he signed it, I mean.
But I mean, $10,000 for a guitar.
That's a fucking lot, dude.
I don't know.
That's a lot.
Just wait for the Epiphone version to come out. It'll run you like
$600. Yeah, that's better.
But there will be like,
and it's probably going to be
50,000 of them and no signatures.
Yeah, and those $600 ones, I bet you are going to be closer to the one that he bought at a pawn shop. If you know,
I'm quite
like,
sure.
You know what
I
mean? Like, I mean, I'm sure he didn't buy $10,000. I mean, he didn't spend $10,000 on his pawn shop guitar. You know what I mean?
No.
True.
What were we talking about?
Hangovers.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. did y'all have any other hangovers? If not, we could talk about what we're drinking.
No.
I think we can go right into the drinks.
All
right.
Go for it. Frank, you go first.
All right. So I am drinking from Orca Beverage Bottling Co., a pumpkin spice tonic.
Oh, nice.
It says it's a delicious taste, distinctive flavor. The label says this unique and pleasant elixir combines flavor notes from pumpkin, spice, and cream to create a satisfyingly delicious beverage. Known to be a restorative for all types of thirst, this tonic is best enjoyed well chilled.
All kinds of thirst.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's not bad. It tastes like a vanilla cream soda.
That's like the Dr. Pepper kind of right now that I had.
It doesn't really taste pumpkin-y or spicy in any way.
Oh, that's boo.
I mean, maybe just like you get like subtle hints of it, but it's more of a vanilla cream type drink, I think.
I'm a basic bee all the way. I love pumpkin spice.
Nah,
I mean, every day I like sit at the computer for work and I'm like, I want pumpkin spice. I just want to go to Starbucks to get pumpkin spice something.
It's good. I mean,
but I never really do.
Well, Taco Cabana has a pumpkin spice margaritas now.
I don't know if pumpkin spice and tequila really goes together.
Yeah.
Or any kind of alcohol other than like a beer, I guess.
So I don't know if pumpkin, I mentioned.
Well, maybe Irish cream or something like that, right?
That would be really good. Ooh, Kahlua. Maybe I should get a pumpkin spice latte and put Irish Bailey's in there.
There you go.
Yes. Okay, I'm doing that tomorrow.
I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but we're going to be trying nothing but pumpkin beers this episode. I know sometimes we start off with just random stuff, but this episode we have 8 pumpkin beers that we're going to be going through. And actually, guys, so I had extra beers, right? And they were sitting in the fridge for a while. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to drink one, right? I don't remember which one it was, guys, but you're in for a treat because one of them tastes like pumpkin pie. So it's going to be kind of like a roulette of beers tonight because I don't remember which one it is.
Okay.
So that was Frank's first beer. Frank, what do you rate it, given what it's supposed to taste like?
This one's good. I don't taste so much pumpkin spice in it. I'm gonna rate it a 4 out of 5. Yeah.
All right, 4. All right. Kim, what are you drinking? she's done again.
Yeah, I think so. So Britt bought me another wine cocktail drink, and this one is House Wine Paloma, and this thing says that 2 375 milliliter cans equals a 1 750 milliliter bottle of wine. I think I'm feeling it. I don't really drink like that. So like, I'm like, oh my
God. Yeah, the thin crust pizza didn't help either.
Yeah. but it's good. I like it. At first, when we first tasted it, we were like, ooh, whoa, like, it's kinda strong. That's really strong. But I actually like it. And I like it probably better than the watermelon one that you brought last time.
Okay.
So what do you rate it?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah, I could probably
did you taste one. This?
Uh-huh. That's what I'm drinking also.
What do you rate it?
I'm going to go 3.8.
3.8. All right.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Chug, because I have the rest of this that you need to have some.
And then...
Okay. I'm going to go rinse my glass.
Yeah, so... Oh, well... Oh, and then... So, Britt's drinking... is that a different one from the one you had last time?
No, it was the same one. I'm about to switch.
So oh, okay, sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll go ahead and let Britt do that. So, what we're going to do is to kick this little pumpkin tasting beer thingy off, or pumpkin beer tasting thingy off. Yeah, I haven't even had a drink of that. I'm already fucking
you
up.
Try it?
Oh yeah, I haven't tried it. Let's see.
It's good. I like it. You have to have two drinks. You have to drink it once because the first one's initial like shock, like oh my god, that's strong. And then the second time you can actually like appreciate
it's good.
The flavor.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Okay. I like it because we went to HEB our Thursday night HEB
yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Thing that we do.
Uh-huh. Shopping.
To get our groceries.
It's called shopping.
And I bought a bottle of wine because I've really been like wanting like a sweet wine or like something just different, right?
Yeah.
So I had a bottle of wine, and then the guy that's stocking the alcohol
that
area
was a fucking pickup line. You know it was.
What did he
I know,
say?
I know it was.
He said,
oh my God, I'll tell you why.
He like so I was looking at the wine, just minding my own business, and then he comes over like pops around the corner.
I was around
and
the other corner.
Like, he's like, oh, hey, why don't you look familiar? And I was like, I do. I was like, because you don't. And he was like, oh, and he like made up this, I guess, made up. I don't know. You think he made it up. But he said, oh, you look like somebody that works here.
First
like,
off,
during the day.
Bullshit, because everyone's wearing a mask. That's the first thing I thought. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up.
So anyway.
But anyways.
He like, I had a bottle of this Twin Springs sweet red that I want to get because that's what I really wanted. That's what I was craving. And he's like, do you like Merlots or cabs? I was like, yeah. So he takes me to the Merlot section. He's like, you should try this. And I'm like, okay, like I'm down to try something different. Like that's the point of this, right? Like to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it and it's a good Merlot, but it's not what I was craving. Like I wanted a sweeter like wine. And so I got stuck with that bottle of Merlot.
Yeah.
It's good. I'll drink it. It's just not what I was craving. So this actually kind of like satisfies.
How many ladies do you think went home with that fucking bottle that day? Disappointed.
The shelf was pretty stocked, so I don't know.
Okay, so the first one that we're gonna crack open is
You're so crazy.
Do they actually get a commission out of that?
Oh, fuck no, no, hell no.
It's not
HEB. No, it's not. It's HEB. Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin Wheat. I don't know if we've had this one like outside of the show. Britt, have you had this one?
Mm-hmm.
You have? Okay. I don't remember if we have.
I like this one a lot.
You like this one? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Give a little smell. It smells pumpkin-y mm-hmm. right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. I need a pumpkin spice wine. Wine.
Oh, this is.
I'm sure it's out there somewhere. No,
oh, this is good. This has a little mm-hmm. bit of a pumpkin pie-ish aftertaste.
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty good. I don't remember having this one.
On first smell, it actually smells like the can of the Libby's pumpkin pie puree.
Oh, yeah.
Says brewed with real pumpkin and spices, 5.7% ABV. This is fucking good.
Yeah.
It tastes like it says, you know, I mean, it has pumpkin on the bottle and it actually, because we've had some stuff that says, oh, it's supposed to taste like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like Rojo.
Made with real pumpkin puree.
I hate talking about them, but it sucks because I saw I need to follow the brewery. So I was on there and they announced that they're coming out with some new beer they have, and then Rojo again is going on sale. Oh. And I was looking at the comments and everyone's like, oh my god, Rojo, it's so delicious. I'm like, it's all fucking hype, man. Like it tastes like gross. Crap. If they have something good, fine, I'll say it's good. But that was one of the most disgusting beers I've ever had in my life.
So pumpkin spice isn't really pumpkin. It's just cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, and sometimes allspice. It doesn't have anything to do with pumpkin.
Yeah, it's just the stuff we put in pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. That makes it.
I mean, it tastes like pumpkin pie to me. I'm going to give this like a 4.8.
Dang.
Well, that's pretty high.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. Well, because it's pretty close to, you know what I mean? Like, it has the stuff that
you pumpkin. Would
yeah, that yeah, that's in some. And it doesn't really have a.
We don't, you know, we don't have what? The good, like, the best pumpkin spice beer, the Pumpkin Harvest Shandy from Lean and Kugel.
We that brought one's kinda,
that you one, did.
You did. Oh, shit. Okay, well, I guess we'll try it again because I don't remember it.
It's so sweet. It's like a dessert.
I don't think I like that one better than this one. I don't, from what I remember. Well, we'll try it later. Yeah. So that means we have 9 pumpkin beers today.
Wow.
So, Britt, what do you give this Blue Moon?
I'm going 4.5.
4.5.
I do like this one a lot.
Kim?
3.7.
All right, so that's that. And then, so since we got started with the beers, we'll go ahead and take a beer break in a bit. But Frank, you want to start us off and talk about backmasking?
Yes. So backmasking, the phenomenon that sparked a lot of controversy.
Oh, yeah.
So backmasking is a recording technique in which sounds or messages are recorded backwards onto a track that is meant to be played forward. It's been the center of controversy for recorded music in the 70s, 80s, and 90s due to alleged hidden messages that the Christian right says corrupts society into Satanism and unchristian values.
Hail Stan.
Hail Stan. And backmasking has long been associated with hard rock and metal, with early rock artists like Led Zeppelin, Styx, Pink Floyd, and Queen employing the technique. Though initially discovered in 1878 in its most primitive form by Thomas Edison, the inventor of the phonograph.
What the hell?
Yeah. Backmasking gained popularity in the 1960s with the Beatles, most famously on their self-titled White Album, in which rumors of Paul McCartney being dead began to surface. And this phenomenon of backmasking spread like wildfire, with music fans going out to buy records and playing them backwards in the hopes of finding these so-called subliminal hidden messages. And much of the hidden messages were unintentional, but it didn't stop many fundamental conservatives from protesting rock music and its association with Satanism and the occult. And these protests went as far as record labels having to place stickers on albums that featured backmasking and DJs getting fired for playing music that featured it.
Yep. So what did the stickers say?
It was just like a warning. It says, you know, this record has backmasking.
Yeah.
Did it use that term or did it just say like?
I think what he said was pretty much what the sticker said. I think it was bigger in Britain from what I saw.
Okay.
That they did have it here in the States, but I think it was more so.
I see.
It's pretty much like our, I guess it's like the equivalent of the parental advisory sticker.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, this album features backmasking.
Yeah, may have fucking satanic implications.
But also backmasking is used to edit cursing in songs and movies.
Yeah, like I used to edit that time you said that guy's name.
Yeah.
Backmasked.
Sorry, person.
I called it frankmasking.
And there are two types of backmasking. Backward masking, where the music features intentional messages, and backmasking, which is the unintentional messages. Uh-huh. And when it comes to backmasking, it's really a matter of what the brain hears. Just like when you incorrectly hear lyrics to a song played in its regular forward version.
Oh, which we do all the time.
That's going to be its own episode. No, lyrics, sure. Lyrics we've heard incorrectly.
That will be fun.
Oh, fuck. I've done
that.
Clean.
That's like most songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is actually a website. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of the stuff I found. But there's a website, www.backmasking.com. And it explains all you need to know on the subject, as well as the coincidence theory, the satanic theory, and the reverse speech theory.
Interesting.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So again, for those that are interested, www.backmasking.com. For all your curiosities, visit that page and all your questions will be answered.
There you go.
All right, pretty cool. Well, feeding off of what Frank said, I actually composed a little list of songs that contain backmasking, whether intentional or unintentionally. So I'm just going to go off the list real quick, what I wrote down, and then you guys can jump in and say whatever you want if you guys have anything to say. Mm-hmm. First one on top of the list is Drowning Pool, the song Sermon. It's off their debut album. It's the last track on the album, and it's actually the last line on the album.
Yeah.
And I think it's the line is, ladies and gentlemen, tell me what you believe. Yeah, and that's played backwards. Mm-hmm. So Sermon from Drowning Pool, At the Drive-In, 300 megahertz. That's another one. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna keep rolling. Y'all can stop me. So apparently, the first song before the 1800 one that you were talking about, mm-hmm. the Thomas Edison one, do you know what it was? Like, was it fucking Beethoven or something?
I'm not sure what it was, but he just played the song backwards, and he discovered that it still plays a melodious tune, just pitched darker, in a darker pitch, and just, you know, has a weird attribute to it.
I wonder what song it was. So apparently the first known incident of backmasking was Rain from the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Beatles actually have two songs on the list. I'm not going to say the other one because I didn't even write it down. Chumbawamba. Mary Mary. That's for Brit.
You know.
Why?
Oh, it's for Frank then, right? It's for one of you guys.
And actually,
it's for both of you. Okay, it's for both of you.
And actually, the Beatles started experimenting with backmasking on their Revolver album, but it was just more instrumental stuff.
Was that the Revolution?
No, I think that was on the White Album.
Oh shit. Okay, well, I'm not a Beatles enthusiast, so I don't know.
Yeah, no. So before the White Album, you had Revolver, and they were experimenting with backmasking, but it was just more for instrumental purposes and
Not lyric. Okay.
No, not lyrically, not but lyrically. Then later Charles Manson had some weird theory about how I think the song Revolution 9.
That's the song I was talking about. Yeah.
You know, and Charles Manson thought that it was like a race war type thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that's connected to Manson somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I don't know if you knew about that, Britt. But yeah, it's kind of weird.
Maybe at some point in my life, but I got rid of it. Swept it out of my brain because Charles Manson.
Next one, Cradle of Filth, Dinner at Deviant's Palace. And the reason why I bring this list up is, kids, if you're listening to this at home right now and your parents aren't home and you have these records, bust them out and play them backwards and see what you hear.
Yes.
Okay, we're all.
So like I said, Cradle of Filth, Dinner at Deviant's Palace, that song actually is actually the Lord's Prayer said backwards. Of course, that's Cradle of Filth right there for you. Def Leppard has two songs. This one kind of tripped me out. ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, they have six songs that have backmasking on them.
Wow. They were bored.
The reason why they did it, the reason why they did it is they pretty much did it to stir shit. They heard what
get
was
attention.
Going on.
Exactly. Yeah,
and they're all like, let's fuck with these guys. Also, too, I think they were one of the ones who had the labels put on their records, especially in Britain. Mm-hmm. So it was the whole backmasking warning. Ooh, excuse me. Eminem has backmasking. Mm-hmm. Iron Maiden, they have a song called Still Life. That one has backmasking on it. And they actually did it on purpose, just like ELO, because there was allegations of them being into Satanism. And they were like, we're not Satanists. And they were like, you know what? Check this out. And then they fucking put some backmasking in there. Mm-hmm. Judas Priest, Love Bites, KMFDM, their song Sucks. Korn, Chutes and Ladders. Lacuna Coil, one of my favorite tracks from one of my favorite albums, Self-Deception. That's from Coma Lies. Mm-hmm. Linkin Park has two. Marilyn Manson has two.
Yeah.
Frank, do you know what they are?
I know Tourniquet's one of them. The other one, I don't know.
The other one is actually a B-side. It's a Revelation number 9.
Okay.
So that's a play on Revelation.
Revelation 9.
Revelation 9 from Beatles. Yeah. So Manson has two. Ozzy surprisingly only has one. Perfect Circle has one. Mm-hmm. Slayer, They Might Be Giants has four. Which is fucking crazy. Like the non-metal ones. I actually didn't write that down.
Aww,
I should have.
Come on, Mario.
I know. I shouldn't have. Because the ones that had like more than two, I didn't write them down. But it was weird because ELO and They Might Be Giants. But I do have one for you,
Perfect Circle song, I think the song is Renholder. I don't know if you know, but the title of the song is actually a play on an email that the band received. So Danny Lohner, former member of Nine Inch Nails, also contributed to A Perfect Circle, production-wise and instrumentation-wise. You know how like on the email when you respond to someone, it'll say like re and then the person?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it actually said re D Lohner, but they just reversed it. So it says Renholder.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so it was a play on an email response.
The only thing I know about that is they have a song. What song is it? It's on the Resident Evil Apocalypse soundtrack. Is it, they have a Renholder mix.
Oh, is it Passive?
No.
Well, it's, Passive's one of them. Oh, The Outsider.
Yes, The Outsider. Yeah, that's the one. Tool has one. And this one, I saved the best one for last. This is for Britt. Weird Al has two with backmasking.
Yes.
No way.
The one that I wanted to mention was because I thought it was fucking funny. It sounds like something Frank would do. This song is called Nature Trail to Hell. I'm assuming it's a play off of Highway to Hell from AC/DC. So yeah. The backmasking line that he do you know about this?
No.
The backmasking line that he has, if you play it backwards or forward to hear the message, he says Satan eats Cheese Whiz. And so that's played backwards on that track. So that was for Britt. That was the last one.
Thank you. That's the last one. You skipped Led Zeppelin.
Well, there was a lot of like I was like, oh, people will know these. Like I know Led Zeppelin's okay. part, and actually they kind of come into my Jimmy Page comes into my report or whatever later right. on. Okay, so okay. I'll talk about that later. But also too, I just wanted to talk about our playlist. So we're gonna have a whole bunch of playlists. I'm pretty damn sure. Songs yeah, on the playlist. I mean, sure. on Spotify. If you want to check out that playlist, it's gonna be at. You can check it out at rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. It'll be on the top right. You can find both of our Spotify links, one to the shows and one to our playlists. Number one, the first track that I put on there is actually, I was telling you guys about it, I think, the other day. So like around 2007, after we got out of high school, I started getting into a lot of underground hip hop thanks to the local college radio station here in town. Mm-hmm. And there was this group that I came across called Dead Celebrity Status. And there's this one song that I really liked from them. And it's the first track on our playlist. It's called In My Backyard. And it starts off with a sample of the sound effects used in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. Okay. Mm-hmm. And basically it's one long, like it's a verse, like multiple verses, but he's telling a story about like how like underground rappers are better than the mainstream rappers. But he tells the story using band names and artist names connected in one long story. And like, in order for you to like understand what I'm saying, you gotta listen to it. Like he just mentions like 80s bands, 90s bands, like any genre. Artists, and he'll just like put them together in a story. So he's using the band names as the, I guess, as the words to continue the story.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's like ad lib or something.
Oh, like kind of like that, but he's using like the artist names, which is pretty crazy. Yeah, so you'll be able to hear that on Spotify. Yeah, I want to have a beer break, and then we'll go into some sure. music stuff. All right, Kim, go ahead and grab a random pumpkin beer from the fridge. Let's see if she picks the. The right. pumpkin pie.
Close your eyes.
The random one.
Okay, so that's one down, eight to go.
Oh Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long night, guys. Trick or treat.
Possibly. Mm-hmm.
Happy Halloween again, guys.
Yeah,
definitely.
If you're listening to this podcast before you go out tonight, be careful, wear your mask on top of your mask.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So this next one we have I don't know. You know what? This might be the beer. This is from Shipyard.
I get it right.
This is from Shipyard. You'll get a kiss.
Aww.
From Shipyard Brewing Co. It's called Pumpkinhead. The can has some pretty cool artwork on it.
Yeah.
This is 4.5% ABV, which is not bad. These pumpkin beers have pretty low ABV, so I think we'll be good until we get to the darker ones. Let's see. It says that it has a blend of pumpkin spices. So this might possibly be it. Kim probably got it. Kim, you want to do the honors?
Cool.
Separating it. So we'll do that. Try this beer, and then we'll go into some of our favorite horror-related...
This smells like a pumpkin pie.
Yeah, this might be it. Shipyard. All right, guys. Let's do this.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to give it a little smell real quick.
Mm-hmm. Very pumpkin pie. Yes.
I actually don't smell it from the can.
Smell my cup.
Oh yeah.
All right. It's got a nice flavor. Right.
Give it a taste.
A nice smell.
Boo. I didn't pick it. Or did I?
No, I don't think this is it. I mean, it's like it kinda tastes like it doesn't taste as smooth as the Blue Moon one. Like the flavors are there, but you can definitely taste like the I guess the hops. Yeah, I'm going to go with the hops. You can taste the hops coming through. I guess there's not enough of the spices in there.
Really? Because I feel like there's a lot.
But they're different. It's a different balance of the spices or something. Yeah. It's like less cinnamon and nutmeg and more
cinnamon. Maybe that's what I'm tasting more.
I'm not sure.
Let me give it a
I feel taste. Like I taste a lot of nutmeg. Or the way nutmeg smells. Because I don't think I've ever like just tasted it. I should. I have some.
It's the balance. Do you like this one better than the Blue Moon one? I still like the Blue Moon better. This one does have a little offness to it.
What did I say about Blue
it's,
Moon?
The carbonation is more
like, it present is more.
As
yeah.
well. This is the one that Frank and I had in Massachusetts, and they lined the glass with cinnamon sugar.
Ah, this is the one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it. It's not bad.
Oh my gourd.
That one's
that's what it says on the can.
That Cygourd one is the best one that I've had so far. The one from what brewery was that?
I can't remember.
It's a Texas brewery. I even like said it on Twitter and they're like, thank you. Southern Star. There you go. Southern Star so far I think has had the best pumpkin beer, but I haven't had that one in a little while. So comparing that one to the Blue Moon, I'm going to give it like a 3.8. Yeah, I'll give it a 3.8.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. Brett, what do you give it?
I think I'd give it a 4.
4, okay.
Yeah. I like it. It's 3. Fresher than the other one. I think it's like a little bit less.
It's weird because it's crisp. Yeah, it's crisp, crisper, definitely. But not smoother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Blue Moon is smoother, but this one's crisper. Okay. Crisper. All right. So who wants to go and talk about some stuff you have on horror related stuff and music?
I guess I'll start off. He's waited
his whole life for this.
One go for it.
Now, I'm going to start off my list with, I think, one of the ultimate masters of horror and shock rock, Rob Zombie.
Yes, he's on my list.
Rob Zombie, back also too in his White Zombie days. He's always had, you know, a thing for horror. I think, yeah. You know, his love of horror films shows in his music, his stage production, his live persona. And outside of music, he's also a successful film director. Mm-hmm. He's also a music video director as well. And I think I remember reading an interview with him a while back. Him and his brother, Spider-Man 5000. Yeah, they both had like little Super 8 cameras that they would go around and like shoot stuff with. And I think they had like their own little like B-horror movies that they would shoot on these things. But since a young age, you know, Robert Cummings, also known as Rob Zombie, he's been a really big fan of horror. And if you know Rob Zombie, I mean, it's pretty obvious. All of his albums are horror themed in, you know, the names and whatnot. A lot of the songs too, they feature a lot of horror references. And even back in White Zombie days, he would play a lot of snippets of like cult horror classic films in the songs too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this guy lives, breathes, and shits horror.
Well, yeah. Like I have him on my list, and the reason why, like one of the first metal albums that I owned, this is actually the first album that I bought with my own money, Hillbilly Deluxe.
Yes, yes.
I fucking love that album still. Mm-hmm. And to me, in my mind, that's like that's the best era of Rob Zombie because I liked the horror aesthetic that he had on that album. Right. It was different than the White Zombie stuff. That was more like psychedelic stuff. And then even after Hillbilly Deluxe, he kind of went back into the psychedelic horror stuff. But that one was more like industrial horror. Mm-hmm. And I liked that aesthetic. Like I liked the album artwork. I liked the sound on that album. And I know that album was critically, it was well received. Mm-hmm. And it did well. Unfortunately, I think I have a guitar magazine from like 99 when he was on Ozfest, and he has like the arm extensions that he used on stage. And I think there's an action figure it's a McFarlane that has them with those extensions too. But I never heard Hellbilly Deluxe 2 because I didn't want to, I wanted to stay with my feelings for Hellbilly Deluxe, and that came out in 98. I really love that album, and like I said, sound wise, that fucking album was crazy. And I know you mentioned Spider-1, and it's crazy too that you mentioned him because I love the dynamic between them too. Rob Zombie is more on the horror side, and then Spider-1 is more on the sci-fi side,
right?
And it's just like pretty fucking cool to have those two. You know, they grew up together, but
pretty much, yeah.
But they're like on different dynamics of like and movie inspiration. It's pretty cool. But yeah, Rob's dude, Hellbilly Deluxe. I fucking love the album. Yeah. Still one of my favorite albums.
And also too, he just announced a new album today.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and his new single and video also came out today.
I didn't see it, but yeah.
The name of the album doesn't come out till March, so we still have some time. It's called The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy.
Yeah, it's very psychedelic.
Yeah.
And long.
And long. And the name of the single
It's called The Triumph of King Freak. And I didn't see the video, but I heard the song. It's pretty good. It's just what you would expect from Rob Zombie. Just heavy guitars, heavy drumming, very groove-like. Mm. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I was going to talk about Ozzfest 2005. He headlined the second stage.
Yes, I saw Zombie here.
And he decided to play like a stripped down, like almost no production. Mm.
I think that's when John 5 was with them. Like he first got with them, I think, yeah.
And he had this like hippie satanic, satanic hippie vibe going.
Yeah.
Which I thought was impressive because you think White Zombie, you think Rob Zombie and you think, intricate horror stage props, but this dude just went out there in his just like whatever, and just like a regular t-shirt.
Yeah, it was stripped down.
And some bell bottoms. And of course, John 5, he's always, back in his Marilyn Manson days, he's always been very theatric. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think John 5 was probably one of the best things that happened to Rob Zombie, honestly.
Yeah. You're talking about that, and I did get a chance to see that performance on Ozzfest. And then later on, I think he had done a show with Lacuna Coil that I missed. Mm-hmm. But like even going back, like just where my standpoint is on like horror and stuff, man, that fucking Hellbilly Deluxe era, dude, if I would have gotten to see him with that elaborate fucking, that just fucking all that makeup and shit and his fucking green hair and the fucking man, like that would have been fucking sick as hell. Also to have a little fucking like fun fact for you in case you didn't know this. Okay. Do you know who guest played on two tracks on that album?
On Hellbilly Deluxe?
Yeah.
Who guest played on that one? Well,
I'm going to give you a clue and say he played drums and he was in an 80s metal band. 80s hair metal band.
I'm thinking of John Tempesta, but he was an actual member of Rob Zombie. But he drums for The Cult now.
All right. Well, the answer is Tommy Lee. Played on two tracks on Hellbilly Deluxe.
Yes, that's
which
right.
I never fucking knew until today. No. And I was like, what the hell? So, I thought that was pretty, I thought that was interesting. I was like, what the fuck? So, Britt, you got anything? Kim, you got anything? What y'all got?
Let me know when y'all want to do a beer break. Satan music. I mean, maybe some people would think that, of course.
Oh, yeah, no, it's whatever. Yeah.
It was like Halloween-y sounding songs.
Oh, yeah,
the list could go on and on forever and ever.
Yeah.
The first one I put on my list was the song Bloodletting by Concrete Blonde.
I'll listen to it when I put it on the playlist.
It's called Bloodletting, and in parentheses, the vampire song. Super Halloween-y sounding. All and right. They were a band that got started in the mid-80s, I think, and lasted through the early 90s or mid-90s. Out of LA, I believe, and their most famous song is Joey, which you've probably heard many times. I'm sure they even play it on Kiss.
Kiss exclusive?
No, but it's super Halloween-y, vampire-y. It's like the tempo is slow and eerie. There are creepy sounds in it.
What genre are they?
Alternative, like,
yeah.
But
I've never heard of
but
that.
Kind of, I don't know, they have like a bluesy element to the guitars and stuff, right? I'm sure you'll recognize at least one song from them.
Definitely, because usually when I go through and I'm making the Spotify playlist and y'all send me songs, I'm like, oh, what else do they have? And then I'm going through, I'm like, oh, I know this song. Oh,
exactly,
I know. Okay.
Exactly. But the lead singer, she has a really like distinct, deep, rich voice.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool. Well, that's going to go on the Spotify playlist. Yeah. What else you got? You can go.
Sure. Yeah. I've always got your 80s stuff covered for you. Mm-hmm. So the next one on my list was a song called Nemesis by Shriekback. Do you know Shriekback?
Mm-mm.
Some of the guys from Shriekback went on to become XTC. No? Okay.
That's why we learn from
that's
you.
That's right. And I learn from you, so it's cool. But the song Nemesis is about all things dark and mysterious and strange and sinful. Yeah. And cool. It's got a cool video, and it's a favorite of all goth bars around town. So if you ever like stroll into any of those places, you're sure to hear
it. I only stroll into those places when I'm with you two.
Yeah.
So we got to do that.
And there's
sometime.
No strolling into any place like that right now.
I know. That's what
for
sucks.
For the foreseeable future.
When COVID goes away, we'll go into some vampire bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes?
Sure.
Okay, cool. I'll go into some vampire bars. Kim, you got anything? We'll jump back and forth.
Not really.
Okay. You want to take a beer break?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to, we can. Mine's not really.
Brett, you got anything in there?
Just
all right. Go ahead, there. Kim. Give us a roulette again.
Okay. I'm trying for the kiss.
All right. So when Kim comes back, she'll tell us about her little Halloween stuff. Yeah, but anything like, basically everyone's on the right track. Anything that's Halloween related, horror related, anything that maybe someone else would look down upon and say like, oh, that's evil, then yeah, it fits.
And then it fits. Okay.
Yeah, then it fits. But also too, like whatever songs you guys want to send me to put on a playlist that we don't talk about, or maybe we didn't get to talk about them.
Sure, yeah.
I'll put them on there.
A lot.
What did Kim pick? Okay. That's probably not it. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not.
Okay, can I get a redo?
No, we'll do this. Okay, so this one, the next one that she picked for us is by Voodoo Ranger. This is a special release, but they crossed out special and they put spicy because it has a bit of a spiciness to it. Actually, this might be it. I don't know. This could possibly be it. Oh, my goodness. This is called Atomic Pumpkin, and it is 6.4% ABV, so it's a little bit higher than the other ones. I know this one has a bit of a spice to it, but I can't remember. This is the pumpkin pie one, tasting one. Kim, would you like to do the honors?
Sure.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Same to you.
Hail Stan.
Hail Stan. All right, so we're pouring this one out, and
sorry, I'm making a mess.
Thank you.
This one tastes more pumpkin. This one tastes more pumpkin pie the warmer it got.
Like, yeah, I feel like once some of the carbonation kind of bubbled off, it was nicer, a little smoother.
All right, so we'll taste this one, and then Kim can tell us about her her music stuff.
Dang it! This isn't it. I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't think this is it. I think
it's like salsa verde pumpkin spice beer.
Ooh, shit! I don't remember it tasting like that. Fucking hell.
I'm confused.
It's not like horrible, but
it is horrible. It's horrible.
Horrible. Okay.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. This
tastes like a bad gingerbread cookie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like. You're right.
And that's why it burns a little in your throat is the ginger.
Yeah.
I feel like each of these are just trying to find a different mixture of spices. Yeah.
All right, Kim, what do you give it? You dumped it, so what do you give it?
I did dumped it. 1.3.
That's a nice number. Bro, what do you
give
it?
I'll go 2.5. I don't hate it as much as Kim does.
Let me give it one more.
I don't love it.
I don't like it at all. I can't even imagine taking another.
Yeah, that it is that spiciness. And I think it's like what you said,
that's what I said.
It's ginger? Yeah, it might be ginger.
Pumpkin beer.
There's like a little bit of heat at the back of your throat.
I mean, it is what it says it is.
Yeah, it is.
But it doesn't really taste pumpkin-y.
Nope.
No.
Just tastes spicy. It tastes like the stupid salsa verde.
I'm going to go with it does, you right. I'm going to go with
that was not good.
I'm going to go with 3.3.
That was terrible.
3.3. It's a low 3.
Oh my gosh. So, no way.
Yeah. All right. So go for it. What you got?
So mine's kind of cheesy.
Okay.
But I love this song. Even not as a Halloween song.
Okay.
But just as an anytime song. Because if you know me, you know that, or Mario knows that I am not of this era. So I kind of like this this vibe. But I love the Monster Mash. And I know it's really cheesy.
That's a good one.
That is not cheesy.
It's not at all. And it's mandatory.
It's mandatory the Halloween music. Song. Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not a Halloween song. It's an everyday song.
Yes. Agreed.
The Monster Mash was done by Bobby Boris, quotes, Pickett in 1962. And he was of a doo-wop group, the Cordials.
Yeah.
So this happened with one performance while performing the song Little Darlin' by Diamonds. Bobby Pickett, as an aspiring actor, performed that song, Little Darlin', in his best Boris Karloff impression.
Oh, Karloff.
Maybe I wrote the wrong because I was writing fast.
Karloff, yeah.
So the melody is So Boris Karloff was Frankenstein's monster in the Frankenstein movie in 1931.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, he actually played all the monsters in different movies, different times. He actually played Dracula, he played Frankenstein, he played the mummy.
He was in 80 movies before he was in horror movies. Holy shit. He was in a lot of silent films. Yeah, because
he was old. And he was older in those films.
Yeah. And then he was in 1932's The Mummy as well. The melody is cribbed from the D.D. Sharp Mashed Potato Time song. And I actually listened to it. And I just love the melody. It's just so fun.
What year did that come
out? Was of the mashed potato dance craze of that era, which was in the 60s.
Oh, 60s. Okay.
I had my mom demonstrate the mashed potato last time she was in town.
The ladies were doing it in the video. They were so cute. And I was just like, oh my God, this is just like, I listened to the whole song.
I like the background singers on that. Like, just, it's very like, what has that doo-wop-y feel? But it's the, you know, having the females doing the backing, like it's cool. It just like sounds like they're just there, like
and
having
fun. Just and I just love the storyline of that song. A good song. Like it's just a cute really little story, and I love the little sound effects that are in there, like the cauldron bubbles or whatever.
Yeah,
and like the chains,
the way it
and
opens
and
stuff. Yeah,
I don't know. I love that song, and it makes me happy.
No, he does. He does a good job of impersonating. Like
we'll listen to it later.
Like his voice, it'll be on this Spotify playlist too, but like he does a good voice of doing his impression, Boris Karloff will come in later on my list too.
I will listen to that song just randomly, like
it's a good fucking song. It's a good song.
365
I agree. 24/7. Yeah, absolutely. Frankie and I've heard that song probably 8 times in the last 2 weeks.
I've only heard it once.
I've heard it twice at least.
How?
We've been listening to a lot together.
I listen to Pandora sometimes when I'm working before, like early in the morning. I've only heard
the college radio. Was that when it came on?
Oh no, it was on Kona 101. Yeah.
Oh no, they're about to start playing Christmas music.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
So we went to our work and they started putting up the Christmas tree.
They already started putting up the big
outdoor
Christmas
tree. And I was like, what the heck? I was like, it's not even November 1st yet, guys. Like, let the trick-or-treaters
have.
Yeah, but, I guess I'll go next.
We're all like sad now.
You guys,
now we're like,
you guys can.
Hey, Rick. Just kidding.
You guys can interrupt me anytime you want so that we can take a beer break. But, of course, I wanted to talk just a little bit about Metallica. Metallica is connected to a lot of horror-related stuff. First thing on top of the list, I know because Britt had this question when we saw Metallica drive-in. Mm-hmm. I think you had – yeah, you did. I think you did have this question.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I was. So Kirk Hammett is actually a big horror enthusiast.
His guitars.
He actually – and I actually have one over there, a replica, thanks to Kim. She got for me.
Is it a $10,000 replica?
No, it's not.
How do you know?
I don't know. He actually has an annual horror convention. It's called Kirk Von Hammett's Fear Festival. And he has like different like bands play, and he like has bands play, and he has like actors from like horror movies like there too. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, I think he's only had like 2 or 3 of these. I think COVID probably put a stop to this stuff. Mm-hmm. But he also, I know he has a what's that word that we said last time where he has like a display of his fucking shit.
An exhibit?
An exhibit, yeah. Right. I know he had it at the convention, too. Because he actually had his, I think, like part of it, his exhibit
at one of
the Orion Music Festivals.
Yes.
And then he decided to, like, continue on it.
Oh, okay.
So with that, like, him being a big enthusiast, he actually, so this is some pretty interesting shit right here. Mm-hmm. So I know his guitars have artwork of famous Universal horror monsters. So he actually has Bride of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. Frankenstein on one of his guitars, Dracula, White Zombie. I know he has some other ones, but I couldn't find the complete list. This one I did find interesting, though. He actually has Boris Karloff's mummy on one of his guitar, and that image that he has on his guitar, he actually owns the rights to that Boris Karloff image.
Dang.
No
which
way.
Is fucking crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's how much of an enthusiast he is. And he even has a Ouija board guitar, which is the one I have a replica of.
You should post a picture of that one.
Yeah, I'll post a picture of that one. I'll post a picture of it tonight.
I'm just kidding. I didn't make it.
So yeah, Kirk Hammett. And then sticking with the well, we can taste this real quick. Next one we have is Lean and Kugel's Harvest Patch Shandy. This one's Kim's favorite. This is a Weiss beer brewed with honey and natural flavors.
Of course, it's a Weiss.
This is the one I don't that's really like that much because of the honey. To me, it pops out a little too much.
Well, then you don't
get any important reason. Oh, that's fine.
You could drink.
I like it. No, I like it. I just
Ranger spicy.
No, I like it. I just don't. It's just too much honey for me. It's just so expecting sweet. More pumpkin.
This okay. So this. Sorry.
Yeah, it's too much honey for me.
No, this one is gonna be. This is like the ultimate basic B pumpkin spice beer until I find the one in the fridge that you're talking about.
Well, this one, the aftertaste.
I kind of want to taste them like side by side because I really think that this one tastes like beer.
Well, this one initially.
I really think this one tastes like pumpkin.
Well, this one initially
Does it taste like beaver nuts?
Reference the last episode if you haven't heard it. This initially has a honey taste and then the aftertaste is more pumpkin-y.
Yes, I agree.
But. And there's not a lot of carbonation because I know we were talking about that and that affects it. This one, I'm going to give it like a 3.4.
Well,
No. You know what? No. Because it's not.
I'll set up the extra bed.
3.5. I'm going to go 3.5. What do you give it? 5? 4.8?
Yes.
4.8. Okay, Britt?
I'm going to go 3.8.
3.8. Okay.
I'm not a great lover of sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's good. I mean, it's nice. It's a good
beer.
I guess because
but.
When I'm thinking pumpkin spice, I'm always referencing like the pumpkin spice lattes and stuff like that. They're much on the sweeter side. So when I drink something that's supposed to be like pumpkin spice,
you expect
that's
sweet.
The kind of thing that I want to taste.
Interesting.
But maybe Starbucks has just skewed my
perception of pumpkin.
Pumpkin spice.
with this beer, like going with the I guess the. Not the genre, but the group of beers that we're going on. It's just the honey to me takes that out of it for me.
I don't even taste the honey.
I do. I taste it like initially.
Yeah, me too.
Going with continuing with Metallica. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys are like fans of like H.P. Lovecraft. Because I never really got into him.
I never got into him either.
I know he's a bit of a controversial figure.
Yeah, he's like apparently like super race or.
Or was
super racist. Was super racist.
He's been dead for a long time. That Metallica's got a song,
yes,
Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, so they have a song called Call of Cthulhu, which is named after the beast Cthulhu from the short story The Call of Cthulhu, and they actually misspelled it intentionally. And the reason why is that
to avoid lawsuits.
No. So apparently going into the lore of the creature, if you say his name too many times, every time you say his name, the creature comes closer for destruction because he actually lives under the sea. And they misspelled it intentionally so that if anyone says it, they're going to say it wrong.
So we're not at risk of the monster coming.
Well,
up.
I am because I said it.
Cthulhu. I know. I heard you.
So, so that was one song.
Might as well go say Bloody Mary three times in the mirror.
Or I say that every night before I go to bed. Call of Cthulhu is actually an instrumental that's found on. Oh my god! It's gonna be, fuck. What album is it on? It's not Master Puppets. It's got to be Ride the Lightning. It's Ride the Lightning.
Ride the Lightning.
It's off of Ride the Lightning. Because Master Puppets has Orion. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, and then the other song that they have that references Cthulhu as well, it's actually off the Black album, and it's called The Thing That Should Not Be. That actually references specifically a story called...
Is he going to come for us?
Yeah. Yes, he is, after the show. So this song is actually specifically referencing the story The Shadow Over Innsmouth, and that's, once again, a story from H.P. Lovecraft, and it's, I think, Cthulhu's in that story as well. Then the last thing I had to mention about Metallica was, so they have a song on one of the Load Reload albums. I don't remember which one it was. I think it's Load. The Memory Remains.
Yes.
The Memory Remains actually features a very accomplished vocalist, musician, Marianne Faithfull.
Yes.
She actually sings in harmony with James Hetfield on the track. And she also sings the very iconic favorite sing-along part at the end of the song in the bridge. So the reason why I bring her up was because she was heavily involved with the Rolling Stones back in the day. And the Rolling Stones back in the day when she was rolling with them.
When she was rolling with them.
They were hanging around with this guy named Kenneth Anger. Who was actually he used to hang around with Anton LaVey and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Anton LaVey, if you guys don't know, he actually looked up to Aleister Crowley and shit. He actually founded the Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing my research, I remember this story because it's actually like a myth or whatever. But I mentioned this book in a previous episode, one of my favorite books called Take a Walk on the Dark Side by R. Gary Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Marianne Faithfull, she was part of this movie that Kenneth Anger did called Lucifer Rising. And he made this film as being influenced by Aleister Crowley. Yeah. And Marianne Faithfull actually plays Lilith, which is Satan's daughter?
I think so.
Yeah, Satan's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, Mick Jagger's brother is in it. Chris Jagger, which is weird, yes. Right? Chris Jagger. and also Jimmy Page is in this movie.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. All these guys, used to hang out together and shit.
Yeah.
And the story goes that, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the original Rolling Stones guitarist, Brian Jones.
Brian Jones, yes.
So he was the founder of Rolling Stones. He actually died. He drowned in a swimming pool at a party, hanging around with all these guys. And the story goes that Rolling Stones were hanging around with this dude, and they were part of a ritual. It was, I think, sometime while they were doing this movie, and they were basically selling their souls to the devil.
Right, right.
And Brian Jones didn't want any part of it. So because he didn't join them, he ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're saying that they weren't really sure, even though they found him drowned in the pool, that apparently they couldn't really pinpoint what caused his death or how he ended up in there. So the myth goes that he died because he wasn't part, or somebody killed him because he didn't want to take part in the satanic ritual. But that's where Marianne Faithfull comes in, being tied to Metallica and stuff. I just thought it was a weird connection.
Yeah, no, definitely
to bring up. But they were all into occult shit. Mick Jagger was into occult shit. All them guys were into occult shit.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what the fuck they did. And I think Charles Manson was probably involved in there somehow too.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It was all around that era, but that was one of my that's my Metallica related information.
You know, and actually you mentioned you mentioned Kirk Hammett.
Yes.
whole different guy.
Horror exhibition, and I remember I was at Ozfest 2003 and Korn was one of the headliners, and Jonathan Davis had on tour throughout the whole festival a traveling serial killer museum.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I went in, I checked it out, I thought it was quite cool. I don't think Jonathan Davis has much to do with that. I think once he had he had kids and he just decided to sell everything off, you know, because he realized I shouldn't be having that stuff around with my kids and whatnot. That was cool to see. And I guess I don't know, Korn, I guess, somewhat has a little bit of involvement with the dark side. Especially, I guess, if you look at the music video for Adidas, the band members are all dead. And they're, inside a morgue and whatnot. But I think just in general, Jonathan Davis has always been into, the whole dark stuff. Uh-huh. But I'm gonna continue my list now.
Yeah, go for it. You want to get another beer, Kim?
Bless probably you. A beer break.
Sorry, I'm going to backpass that. So that your sneeze is going in
reverse.
In reverse.
No, I mean, you can leave them here. I mean, I'll. Well, anyways, all right. Pick. all right, go on, Frank.
So my next three, I'm just gonna go into them a little bit. And,
yeah, go for it.
You mentioned Anton LaVey.
Yes.
And he was actually friends with Marilyn Manson.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Here we go, Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. Manson.
We got our Metallica. We got our Marilyn Manson.
We have to hit our quota. It's part of the show's rules. If you go in and you read our agreement, terms of agreement.
Yeah, that's right. And Anton LaVey was going to be featured in Marilyn Manson's debut album because Marilyn Manson was looking for a theremin player. And
if you guys don't know what a theremin is, it's the popular instrument that can be heard in the intro to Star Trek, the original series.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it the weird one that you don't play?
Yeah, you just move your hands. Your frequencies, yes.
Yeah, it's all frequencies. And Anton LaVey was supposed to be featured in the album because he was the only unionized
theremin player.
The only one? He's a union of one.
And well, I think the only unionized in California, I believe.
He was in a theremin players United or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. But yeah, he was supposed to be featured, and I think for like legal reasons, he wasn't like he couldn't do it. But yeah, Marilyn Manson, of course, you know, obviously he's always been associated with the occult, with I guess the whole satanic stuff, and he's another guy too, you know, from his stage presence to his stage production to a lot of his music. There's some dark stuff in there, and he's been featured in some horror films and some video games as well too. And I think he also produced, right? The Resident Evil soundtrack?
You're talking about... Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah, Marilyn Manson. Yeah. He helped him. I was like, I thought you were going to mention somebody else. And I was like, well, I know who worked on the... Yeah, he worked on the first Resident Evil soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I know he helped compose the main themes. And then he also helped put the soundtrack together. But yeah, Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. And I forgot who else worked with him on that.
I'm not sure. But yeah, Marilyn Manson, you know, another shock rocker as well. Uh-huh. And Alice Cooper also, another yes. shock rocker. Yes. And to tie Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson, and Alice Cooper together, Rob and Alice actually toured together on the Gruesome Twosome tour. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, it was the Twins of Evil tour with Rob... Rob Manson. with Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson. And then another tour followed called The Masters of Madness with Alice Cooper and Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking, man, like...
Well, Zombie and Manson did one. You mentioned that, right?
Yeah, okay. Zombie and Manson did one, and that was the Twins of Evil tour.
The Twins of Evil, there you go, yeah.
And I was just thinking, you know, once the whole COVID stuff passes, would the three of them tour together like as a package tour?
I don't know. That seems like a bunch of headline material. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. But they could make it like a festival type thing.
Oh yeah, maybe they could.
You know, and they could play like our sets or something.
You should write to them.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, right.
But he's like, I already did.
ever since when?
Fun fact, just for me. But me and Alice Cooper share the same birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very cool. That is a fun fact.
That is cool.
All right. So the next beer we have, I'll let you keep going, but I just want to jump in with this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a ale brewed with pumpkin and spices. This is by Nebraska Brewing Company. It's called Wick or Brains Pumpkin Ale. So is
third
this,
time's a charm.
Is this the pumpkin pie beer? Let's see.
Or did I strike out?
How's that?
I don't think this is it.
Three strikes and I'm out.
6.1% ABV. It's not bad. This one actually has the least flavor than all the ones that we've tried, I think. Yeah. Like, it tastes more like an ale straight up with just a bit of spices in it.
It's got a bitter aftertaste.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's just like after drinking this really sweet, really delicious Harvest Patch Shandy from Lena Kugel, anything after this, mm-hmm. until I find... Actually, I'm done. You could find it because I don't... I give up. I'm already three strikes.
Flavor...
It just... Nothing's going to like...
I'll let Britt pick the next one. Sweetness. So this one, like the flavor is a little flat. Like it's a good beer. But the flavor is flat. I'm going to give it like a 3. Britt, what do you give it? Okay. No, you know, I'm going to go like a 2.9.
Oh. Yeah, like a 2.8, probably.
2.5.
It's not my favorite. Yeah, it's kind of bitter. Twos.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so there's that one. Frank, what else you got? You still got some stuff to say on those three?
Yeah, so, well, actually, I think I'm gonna do two more.
Yeah.
Okay, so Screamin' Jay Hawkins, I put a spell on you.
Oh, okay. The song. Okay.
And Marilyn Manson covered that song for his, I forget the name of the album.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he covered I Put a Spell on You. And Screamin' Jay Hawkins is actually considered one of the first shock performers of the 50s.
Huh.
And I think he was one of the first ones. And I think he influenced Alice Cooper and whatnot to do his own thing. And Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
I saw a story on that guy. That guy was like crazy. Like he looked like a voodoo guy.
Yeah, yes.
And I heard that he had like tons of kids. Oh. Like when he was on the road, like he was like all over the place. Yeah. And like he just had like kids all over the place. Wow. And, like, they were okay. trying to like estimate how many kids he had. But yeah, that guy, I saw his like his stage persona. He looked very shocked.
Yeah. And just, I mean, just imagine like in the 50s performing in, you know, your whole voodoo attire then you have skeleton props and coffin props.
Yeah.
And not only that, but to be African American in the 50s and performing shock rock, I mean, that was controversial.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were into that.
Yeah.
And Manson wanted to do his own homage to Screaming Jay Hawkins, and he did his own version of I Put a Spell on You.
Is that version good? I haven't heard it.
He put a pretty creepy twist on it,
okay.
I thought. And actually, I think, what's the name of that album? It's more of a remix EP album. I think it's called Smells Like Children. and actually, it's... To me, you know, to this day, it's still one of the more creepier sounding Marilyn Manson albums.
Huh, I gotta check that out. Yeah, well, obviously I'm gonna do my research doing this Spotify, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember being a kid and listening to the stuff at night, intentionally, just to creep myself out.
Yeah, I remember speaking of that, like, because this was the first album that I bought, Rob Zombie, you spoke about this earlier, how he would use, like, clips from movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Put them in, and one of the most iconic things to me about that album is the intro with the little girl saying the verse about the zombie come in and talking about him like cutting off your head or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, like, when I first heard that, I was like, man, that's fucking like to me at the time, I was like, man, that's fucking creepy and crazy. And
I think that
was cool as shit.
I think that's Sharon Moon Zombie, right?
Oh, is it?
Doing that?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
yeah, because if you watch House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects, she has like that baby childish voice that she busts out every now and then.
I gotta look that up. I had no, I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. And my last connection to Marilyn Manson is the Murder Dolls.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember they had a video.
Was Joey Jordison in that band?
Yeah, he drummed for them. Yeah. But there was a video that Manson was in. I got to look up the song. But he cameoed in the video, I think, as some type of, I don't know, mental asylum doctor? I think. And Murder Dolls, that's another one. They're more like a glam punk, horror punk type thing. Trip Eisen, formerly of Static X. Played guitars in that. I think, what's the guy? Wednesday 13, the vocalist?
Yeah.
Now he does his own thing. And Joey Jordison also, too, of Slipknot. So that was like his... It wasn't really a side band. It was like a full-fledged band. It's just when Slipknot wasn't touring, he was touring with Murder Dolls.
I think we played a show one time.
With Murder Dolls?
No. And Wednesday 13 was playing across the street. Really? Like his shit. We were playing at what was that fucking place? The Amp Room.
Okay.
And they were playing across the street at Paper Tiger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was like a whole fucking bunch of kids there and shit. But anyways, I don't know. I just wanted to say that to connect to that. Britt, you want to give it a shot and see if you can pick the pumpkin?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so it's gonna be on that middle shelf on your left side. There's like pumpkin beers there. I'll let you pick one. So speaking of, we talked about Joey Jordison. I think an obvious band to talk about is Slipknot.
Right.
You want to talk about Slipknot real quick. So I know this is a little off topic, but it kind of connects. So not really. So I know me and my brothers played this game. I know my brothers will probably remember it, and I know a lot of people probably won't because I don't think it was a very popular game. But there was a game that came out for the Sony PSP, which was the PlayStation Portable. It was called Infected, and it came out in 2005. This was a third-person shooter, and basically it was about zombies. So this is horror-related. Basically, it was a game that took place in New York City before Christmas, and the city was infected by some kind of virus, so people were turning into zombies. And the goal of the game is to go through the city and try to make it to a doctor who can make a cure out of your blood, because your blood, like, you're like kind of immune to the virus.
Right.
And the reason why I bring up the game was because it was like this really obscure game that was made by this I don't think the developer is like super huge, but it was metal oriented.
Oh.
So the it had a small soundtrack, but the soundtrack included three songs from Slipknot, including Eyeless, Everything Ends, and Pulse of the Maggots. So basically, these songs were playing while you were killing zombies going throughout the game. Had two songs from Chimera, one song from Trivium, one song from El Nino, one song from The Agony Scene, and one song from Fear Factory. It also included songs that were exclusive to this game by Junkie XL and Pimp X. But I also bring it up, too, because Slipknot, every member is a playable character in this game
that you can unlock.
Yeah, like this game is like very obscure. And I remember me and my brothers came across it somewhere and we bought it. And we were like, fucking Slipknot. Like, you put on the game and you start playing and fucking Trivium's playing. And Chimera's playing. And actually, one of the members of Chimera is a playable character, too, that you can unlock. But I don't know if many people know about this game, but it's very horror connected because it has to do with zombies and it has to do with...
And talking about zombie video games, I remember the first time I played Resident Evil, I died so much.
Oh, man. Resident Evil's a fucking...
Because I wasn't aware. This is the PlayStation. I wasn't aware that you had, in order to walk, you had to press the D-pad and like X.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole time I was just spinning in circles.
Good times. Those were... And I think that was back in the day where that was like a Resident Evil had a fixed camera system.
Yeah.
So basically like... You had to move, but like the camera didn't move, which was weird. But like now the camera moves with you. So that was a pain in the ass for a lot of gamers.
Yeah.
So the next beer we have is from Fourth Tap Brewing Co-op. This is actually the brewery that did the beer you said earlier.
Beaver Nuts?
Not the Beaver Nuts. The ice cream one that didn't taste like ice cream.
Rainbow sorbet or something.
Yeah. So this one, unfortunately, has been in my fridge for quite some time because I got it before it came out.
So this one's not the pumpkin beer.
This one's definitely not it because I only got one of these. So I don't know what this one tastes like.
Okay.
So this one is actually in collaboration with, I know a lot of people outside San Antonio won't know this, in collaboration with 13th Floor, Haunted House. Have you guys ever been to 13th Floor?
I know where it is.
It's across from Sunset Station.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is a pumpkin ale and it has like little kids dressed up in
creepy kids.
So this is...
I don't think you have a pumpkin beer. I think you're lying.
No, there is one in there. How many more are left in there? Like five?
Yeah.
Okay, so,
maybe three.
So let's pour these out.
It is orange.
The only haunted house that I ever went to is Terror Mansion.
The only one I've ever been to.
Like 2000.
Thank you.
But the only one I've ever been to was because I worked there. Nightmare on Grayson.
You worked there?
Yeah, I worked there for like two seasons. Me and my brother were security.
Oh, okay.
We worked, so it was pretty cool because we worked like behind the curtains.
Right.
So we would keep an eye on the people going through the house. Mm. So we had like walkie-talkies and a map of the place and we would like jump through. So we would have our own hallway to peek through. And it was cool because like sometimes we'd have to cross through the hallway. Dude, the guys walking with their chicks would get so fucking scared. Like, it was hilarious, dude. Or, like, even then, like, not even getting scared at us. Like, we would get to see all that. And they couldn't see us because we were, like, behind the black. And, it was pretty fun. But anyways, so we're going to taste this one. I know this is not... I have no idea what this one tastes like. So...
I thought we had tasted this one before.
No, this one I've never tasted. We've only gotten one of these.
Oh, your buddy that we haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
In a while. Mario's best friend.
Beer manager.
He gave this one to Mario. He was like, this one's exclusive. Mario, it's not out yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, too bitter.
Oh, I don't know if I want to taste it.
This tape. Blah.
Yeah.
Hoppiness, my ass. It says easy. This is not.
No, it's
bitterness
not.
Bitterness is.
It's.
No, hell no.
Oh, it smells this is, really like.
I mean. I say hell no because I'm expecting something else, but it tastes...
Yeah, we've been spoiled by all the super sweet stuff we've been drinking all night, so this tastes weird.
So this fourth tap, I'm going to go with...
I feel like we really should have had a palate cleanser before this one.
Yeah. I'm going to give it like a 2. Oh, gosh. Britt, what do you give it?
Yeah.
2? Okay, yeah, Kim, what do you give it?
I haven't even drank it.
You haven't? Oh, okay.
I would not ever buy it.
Well, if we gave it a 2, I'm going to guess you're going to give it like a 1. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been that it's one. I've had this in the fridge for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
Or a month and a half.
One.
That could be. part of the reason. I don't
1.8?
know.
1.8? No, 1.9.
1.9. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Average is going to be about 2. Yeah. So,
who is the brewery again?
Fourth Tap.
It's super cute.
Fourth Tap Co-op.
Yeah, yeah, the can is cute.
Yeah, the can's cool.
Yeah, the can is cool.
Local. The brewery's here?
The brewery
or is 13th floor
13th floor is,
from, is a chain. Is there's a chain of haunted houses?
Are they a chain? I don't know. Well, this brewery is from Austin. Uh-huh. But I know we have a third. Yeah, you know what? I think they are. I think there's a 13th floor in Austin, yeah. I'm not sure. Somebody can fact check me on that. I don't fucking know.
I know there's a haunted house in Austin that supposedly is really, really creepy. Not a whole lot of people finish it.
Yeah.
And you get your money back if you make it to your car safely after you exit the house. The after you exit the house and some dude with a chainsaw chases you to your car.
Oh. Huh.
When I did a search, it pulled up San Antonio, Austin, Chicago, Denver, Houston, Phoenix, Jacksonville, Columbus.
Oh, so
yeah, so it's a chain. So. It's not just a nod to ours.
So if you don't make it safely, you're dead because he killed you.
That's dumb.
I know. That's, you keep saying if you don't make it safely.
I know. I was like, what the hell? I was like, are you going to faint halfway?
I know. And I was like, what happens in the parking lot?
Like, do they have traps there? Like, intentionally so you don't make it to your car?
No, I mean, I think it's just, it's a fake. I guess chainsaw.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a real chainsaw. They just take the chain off.
Yeah. And I think the whole thing is like he just like tags you and says, "I got you."
Oh, you got bullshit. He's like, "Your arm's cut off."
So you have to sprint. You gotta
like that.
Make sure you're wearing your track shoes and shit.
Yeah, you gotta.
That was like really expensive, and if you made it all the way through, you got your money back or something like that.
Is that him?
Mm-hmm.
That's
the one.
Is that the one he's talking about?
I was talking about the one. Yeah, about that one in Austin, but I'm pretty sure they have some here too. Huh. You know,
I only know those two.
I actually used to work in a haunted house too.
Oh, really?
Well, back in high school, I worked Fright Fest at Six Flags.
For like, went to Fright Fest like and we went through that one haunted house. It was like in a swamp and it was
oh my god, we waited.
Did you
in
feel
line.
Like you were in Anaconda, the high quality film
we waited in line for so
like
long.
At least an hour we waited in line, right? So we get there and the cool part was the fog part.
Yeah,
it
the
was
cool part
cool.
It made you look like you're walking through
so basically like
water.
They have like I don't know if you've seen this before where like they have like these lasers, so the lasers go up to your waist, right? But they have a fog machine so that the fog machine kind of looks like it like highlights it and looks like there's something going up to your waist. It looks like you were walking in water, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, like, they were hiding under the fog, and then, like, they would pop up.
Okay.
But it was, like, nothing. It was, like, really nothing. But, man, oh, my God. And then they had this, like, track thing playing about, like, a zombie outbreak, right, that only lasted, like, 2 minutes or 3 minutes. It was, like, a radio thing. We heard that shit 100 fucking times. I'm not even kidding you. Because we were waiting in line so fucking long.
Oh, my God.
But speaking of haunted houses, so I had this stupid story. I think this was back in 2012. I was in 2011. I was in this band, and so at the time, I had started my side project, which was Version 7 before I got in contact with you.
Right.
So I was in two bands at the time. And so we were both playing this show at this haunted house, like in the Woodlawn area, right? So it was a pretty cool setup that they had. They had like these this little maze thing where like you had to go through their backyard, but it was like these clear coffins, and you had to like climb on top of the coffins because like there was something on top. So you had to like climb through it, but like in the coffins there was people in there and they were like fucking zombies like trying to get out, but like you were climbing on top of them. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So we were playing the show, right? And so the band that I'm in is playing first, and then it's another band, and then my band was supposed to play like later, right? So no, it was the other way around, flipped. So I got it flipped. So so we're there and we play, and the fucking place gets shut down, and I'm like, what the fuck, right? Like, I thought y'all done this before. So apparently they thought it would be cool to have a fire person, like a, you know, those flame people.
Oh, yes.
Play with fire and shit. Guess where they had that person do their act?
I don't know.
In a cornfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty dangerous, but think about something more, I guess, a little more dangerous.
Right by your head.
No.
Over the people in
just
the
think,
coffins.
This was at a house in the Woodlawn area.
The house in the Woodlawn area.
On the roof.
Oh,
yeah, the fire company came and was like, I mean, the fire company. The fire department came.
Privatized?
The fire department came and was all like, y'all can't be doing that shit, right?
Yeah.
And apparently, like, safety reasons. I was like, what the fuck? And the, so the band I was in never got a chance to play because they shut them down. But I got to play because my band played.
Okay.
So I was pulling, like, double duties that night. And and so, like, yeah, it was fucking stupid. Like, they got shut down. But the haunted house setup that they had was pretty cool. I don't remember what it was called. But they had a cool setup in the back, and I got to do that. And then, but yeah, they had a fucking flame dancer, whatever the fuck, on the roof. I was like, wow. Dude. Yeah. Like, one, that person could fall off and catch on fire, and then fall off, catch the house on fire, then catch the surrounding house on fire. So many fucking things could happen, like having that person up there. But I thought it was funny.
Couldn't they just had like a fire expert there explaining to the fire department is cool?
I mean, sure, I guess, but they didn't have one. They didn't pay for one. So
I mean, because look at
also, I don't think that the fire department takes the advice of someone some who random says, guy says, "Hey, yo, chill, it's cool."
It's cool.
No, but what if you're a licensed pyrotechnician?
It doesn't matter. I think
it's the fact where it was at. I'm sure you need a permit for something like that.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And they didn't have it, and I just thought probably one of my. Not funny. I mean, it's just a weird ass fucking Halloween story because this was like during Halloween. I was like, yeah, I was actually like dressed up and shit. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, yeah, I get to play at night outside. And I ended up playing only when the sun was out because my band got to play first. And then they got shut down. So it was, how many more beers do we got in the fridge?
A lot. Like three.
Three? Right? Okay, guys, let's do this. We got three more.
Oh my gosh.
Let's find that pumpkin pie beer. I have one more thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah, so I think we all have things to talk about.
Oh, sweet.
Jeez.
Britt, you go next. I don't want to go next.
Okay. Well, I can just knock them all out in one go, but well, I have three more songs to talk about.
Three more songs. Go for it.
My first one is probably on Frankie's list, too.
Mm.
Well, this is definitely not it. Just want to say that.
Let me try again.
That's a,
why not?
That's,
it says.
That's a, like a stout. This is like a pumpkin stout.
It has a Halloween-y name.
Oh, it has pumpkin in it. Okay, it's probably that shipyard one because
I don't know.
I think they're trying to decide. They're trying to decide what beers to drink next.
So. It was probably this one. This one was probably the pumpkin pie one.
You built it up in your mind.
I don't remember.
The
well, because
pumpkin pie one is
think
the
about
harvest
it.
Passion.
I didn't have 100 pumpkin beers before I had to. You know what I mean?
Oh no, he had it on the day where he put together the table.
Oh yeah, it was
put
the day
together
I put
the
together.
Shelf. Tried to install the ceiling fan. So he
I had a long
it must
day.
Have tasted really
like,
good.
Oh, fuck yeah, this is pumpkin
should any
right
beer would have tasted really good at that
this
point.
This is pumpkin right here. Okay, so shipyard, go ahead, Britt.
I was gonna mention, of course, Oingo Boingo, Dead Man's Party. Everybody
that's
loves
a good
that
one.
Song, and that's and Danny Elfman, of course, wrote all the music for The Nightmare Before Christmas and all of the like tons of cool Halloween-y movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. That beer is orange. It looks like high C.
It is orange. Oh, sorry,
babe. No, that's cool. Okay, so apparently, this isn't it. It's by Shipyard Brewing.
This is orange.
Actually, this is the other. This is the second Shipyard we've had.
Yeah.
The other one was Shipyard. Yeah. So this is Smash Pumpkin, and if I'm correct, this is the one that doesn't taste good.
It doesn't, because I think Beverly and I have this one.
9% ABV.
It tastes like something like a candy.
Let's see. Ooh, it smells sweet.
Like some kind of candy from my youth. Huh. Hold on. Hold on.
No. Yeah, it smells really sweet.
This one doesn't taste bad.
It tastes like a candy. It tastes like circus peanuts.
What fuck is that?
Those circus peanuts, those like puffed
they're like the
orange
puffy little,
peanuts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
Those candies. That's what I want more. No, I want more.
Oh, but
she's
already
trying to cheers
it.
No, mustard in your COVID.
I haven't.
I was like, I already drank out of it. I was like, you really want more?
And then I'm like, I haven't drank mine, but I've been drinking it a couple of nights, so what an idiot. Okay.
It's really okay.
This one's not.
Oh.
Really?
Circus
peanut. Wow.
That one tastes like pumpkin spice cough medicine.
It tastes. You smell it
too,
those circus peanuts.
Yeah, I remember
talking about. Let me see. I don't like know what you're talking. I haven't had those in forever, though.
Well, I'll bring them next time.
Oh, no. You have some? Like stash?
No, I don't. But I'm sure I can find them. They make them. They still manufacture
them.
The
way you said it, I was like, she has a stash.
I've got some in my purse. Yeah.
You can probably...
I'm not that old, y'all. From her
sleeve. No, I remember...
my Warner's original and my handkerchief. I'm not that old yet.
I remember going to HEB and you can buy them in bulk.
The circus
peanuts? The circus peanuts. Yeah, they had like a bulk candy thing.
Okay, you know what? 2.8.
It's like fall medication.
It's yeah, it is a
I'm
little...
going 3.2 because it reminds me of circus peanuts, and I like them.
No. Let me taste it again.
It does taste like medicine, like a pumpkin spice.
So
medicine.
2?
No.
1.5.
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess the pumpkin pie one was this one.
You're a liar.
Because this one was not bad. This one was like the second best from after that.
After that, this is the best. This is that's the next.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, top three then will be those three.
Oh, Lady Kugel, number one. I'm savoring like this. Sugar. This is like washing down every nasty beer that we've tried.
Okay.
Lady Kugel is saving me.
So right we have now. One more, right?
Yes.
Okay, we
no,
have one more.
We have two more.
What the? Wait. Oh, that dark one. Yeah, you're
and
right.
We still
you're
have
right.
to try a dark pumpkin.
Oh, that's right. So okay, oh, no, we're good. Goodness. We're good. We still got.
Yeah, I've been dumping my shit down drain.
That's fine. Leave these here because I'm still gonna. Okay, Britt, go. Well, we're doing the public a favor and we're trying these. So
don't try these at home.
don't drink these while you're back masking your records. Yeah. Or do it. It might help. It might help. You might summon something by accident.
Probably.
Britt, what else you got? You said you had a couple more songs.
Oh,
right?
Sure. I got. Of course, and I think it's on Frankie's list too. You got to mention Ministry and the song "Every Day Is Halloween." Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. it's called "Every Day Is Halloween," mm-hmm. and it's all about Halloween. And then you have to mention Bauhaus on Halloween because, and Frankie will probably mention Bauhaus as well, but you'll probably do a much more thorough job than I will. And I'm just going to mention the one most famous song of theirs, which is Bela Lugosi's Dead. Mm-hmm. Bela Lugosi being the actor who portrayed Dracula. Mm-hmm. Right. Not my favorite song. It is the most popular song. It's kind of annoyingly so. But also, it ties in with what we talked about last week because I mentioned the film The Hunger with uh-huh. David Bowie. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And Bauhaus is actually performing Bela Lugosi's Dead in the opening scene of that movie, which is quite cool.
That's cool.
And they're all young and stuff, and now they're
you
not.
Know, and actually that movie, that song, is supposed to be a commentary on how the whole goth scene is starting to fade out,
mm-hmm.
and how, I mean...
Song was?
Is it yeah,
back
song
in
was.
Like 82? It was about how the goth scene was fading in 82?
I think it's because surface level, you think it's about Bela Lugosi getting really into his character, that he starts to believe that he's the character. But I think it's supposed to be commentary on like how the whole goth scene started becoming commercialized. And so that was...
In the 80s,
yeah. Like it started losing its appeal. I guess too, like the true... Because the same...
This is y'all's argument.
No, because the same thing happened
I would
with,
say that of today, for sure.
I would too,
it's
because every basic bee loves Halloween. They just love Halloween. And I remember a time when people didn't like Halloween because it was like the devil's holiday. Yada,
yeah.
Yada.
Yeah, everybody was about
every
Christmas.
Every basic
now.
Bee loves... They just love Halloween. It's their favorite holiday.
I'm gonna be a nurse.
I'm going to be Harley Quinn for the film.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, you nailed
it's
it.
It's an excuse
you
to
nailed
dress.
It on the head. Slutty.
Thank
I can
you.
Say it. Slutty.
Yeah, you can say it. Yeah,
yeah slutty. Nice.
I can say it. Slutty.
Yeah.
Like, I said it.
No,
first.
It's very true. It's very
no,
true.
And I hate that. I'm like,
no, I hate
nobody
that too.
Used to love Halloween.
No,
nobody
and nobody
did.
Used to love goth music, especially exactly. not in the 80s. It was super underground and not a part of anybody's
mainstream. It's still
mainstream
underground to
anything.
Me. I'm learning it from you guys.
Yeah, it's just that now it's so easy to follow a hashtag and go, you know, become super expert on something that you had no idea existed prior to.
Oh, my God. Speaking of hashtags, I'm sorry, this is unrelated, but it pissed me off.
Go for it.
Do you want to tell the story about the hashtag that happened?
Beer break. Beer break.
I'll
break.
Do it.
You'll
I'll
get
do.
It.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay, I'll go get it. You
need
tell
me beer bitch for a minute.
You beat me. I wasn't even looking in your direction, Britt. Okay, so this is the story.
Okay. Did I delete it?
And you give me your thoughts, because it pissed me off.
Okay, so what day was this? The 24th. When was that? That was Tuesday. So Tuesday, I get a DM
a random DM from an unknown source, unknown name. We're not going to name the name that should not be named.
What's a DM?
A direct message on Instagram from a gentleman.
Thanks. That was for our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
It says, "Hello, Kimberly. I noticed you made two posts, quotes, videos in the past with the hashtag Mad Protocol. One on April 2nd. 2017 and the other on April 21st, 2017.
Disclaimer, that's a band that
that's one of my dad's Kiss Rocks cover bands.
Yes.
Anyway. He said, "I'm a dentist and I'm trying to create interest in a technique me and my uncle teach to other dentists and would like to use that hashtag MAD as an acronym for our technique," and that's in quotes. "I understand your right to post whatever you'd like, but was hoping you would give up those hashtags to help us gain popularity and recognition with that buzz phrase. Sorry for the request, but thank you for your consideration." To which I said, "Sure, thumbs up emoji," because I don't really care about like that hashtag in particular, because no offense, do I care about that band? Not really. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It was two of my posts.
It was... I don't care. I think that's what pissed me off the most. The thing that pissed me off the most is, one, it's a hashtag. Mm-hmm. Why would you bother somebody with saying, "Hey, can you not use that hashtag because I want to use it?"
Three years ago.
The thing that pissed me off,
right, 2017.
Is he actually date tracked it and he's like, "Oh, you've used it two times. These are the dates." Three.
Maybe he thought that was being convenient for you so that you could identify which posts and go back and remove it easily.
Third thing that pissed me off is you only used it twice. I'm like, bro, if you're going to use it, fucking use it, and it'll pop up.
It'll get rid of mine. Mine will get lost in the abyss.
And I'm like, why the fuck did you even bother with that message? Like, I don't know why it pissed me off so bad.
Maybe he's new to hashtags. Maybe he's 65 years old.
No, he's not. I was like, I don't care. It's not my band. It's not my thing. Mad Protocol is not even on Instagram. They're on Facebook if you want to find the Mad Protocol.
I think it was the principle of it. Like,
I'm like, okay, whatever. Like,
he was very polite, Mario.
That is true, because any given, he was. But here's the thing.
Frank's rubbing off on her. Maybe he was being really polite.
Maybe his mom is sick.
And it's for a good cause.
Here's the thing. Any given hashtag, like for us, for instance, like if I hashtag Rock Talk, guess how many other people are going to use Rock Talk? I'm not going to be like, "Hey guys, can you stop using Rock Talk? Because my podcast has Rock Talk and we want it, please. We don't fucking say that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
and hashtags are universal. Anybody can use them.
Exactly.
And it wasn't going to track down every person who's ever used it.
And that's what pissed me off.
Which seems extreme.
But anyways,
maybe he felt like he had a good chance because it was one person and only two posts.
Maybe. Or maybe it was a pickup line that he does. Like, "Hey, can you stop using
Rock Talk? Hey, you look really familiar.
Pickup lines, mister."
I know.
I'm like, what the
fuck? I've never seen you so jealous before, and I like it.
Okay, anyways, so this is the last one? No, this is the second to last one. So this is from Elysian.
And none of them were pumpkin. I'm disappointed.
So this one, I know it's going to be a disappointment because this brewery is owned by Anheuser-Busch. Anheuser-Busch actually, I think, bought these guys out some time ago or whatever. They're
well,
like
that a, doesn't mean it will suck.
Oh, no, it will. No, I'm just kidding. Because they're mass. anyways, so this is called... No, I'm just kidding, Britt. We'll try it out.
No, I was just thinking about my cucumber crush because it got bought
out. No, you're right. It got
bought out recently.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. Those bastards.
Remember, you told us.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's right. We saw it. Yeah, you're right. I forgot.
I can't remember who bought it, but... And that's like, we gave that beer a 5, y'all.
I know. We did give it a 5. So this is Elysian. I like the artwork on it. It's called a Night Owl Pumpkin Ale. So it is original pumpkin ale brewed with pumpkin roasted and this one is actually made with roasted and raw pumpkin seeds.
Oh.
It has clove, cinnamon, ginger, and allspice.
Okay.
So this sounds promising because it has legit pumpkin seed in it. And it's actually good till February 24th.
Speaking of pumpkin seed.
Oh yeah, speaking of pumpkin seeds.
We carved pumpkins on our anniversary.
Uh-huh.
And Mario chose three chosen seeds and he planted them.
Oh, yay.
Oh, cool.
We still have plenty of pumpkin seeds.
If you want some of my toasted.
Yeah.
But he planted three and
they sprouted.
Yeah.
Yay. So hopefully we'll have a pumpkin next year to carve.
Yeah.
Of our own.
Our
harvest.
Own pumpkin that we
harvested. And
that
grew.
We birthed.
Birthed.
That's cool.
Okay, guys. So we're going to taste this.
I don't want to witness that, y'all.
We're going to taste this Elysian. So smell it first.
Sorry,
it actually smells very, very pumpkin-y.
What were you saying about the 24th?
What was I saying about the... Oh, so this beer is actually good till February 24, 2021. Oh, so this is fairly fresh.
That's good.
It's a beer stand, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let Kim taste it first.
You're going to have to drink your words about saying it's not going to be good.
Oh, Kim doesn't... It doesn't look like Kim likes it. Let me see.
It's... It's sweet.
It's better than the last one. It's
cinnamony.
It's better than the shit yard. You know what? Shit yard.
This one tastes more pumpkin pie. Okay, this is funny because this one tastes more pumpkin pie than any of the ones that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had this one. I actually really like this one.
It's, see?
I'm going to put this number two under Blue Moon.
Okay.
So yeah. If I had to rank the top four, it'd be Blue Moon, this one, then the Shipyard, then the Lena Kugel. Ooh, and then the other ones are shit.
No.
I agree. I'm with you.
Okay. Shit yard. So what?
Shit yard. And I'm favoring this Lena Kugel because it's going to
Well, geez, if I had known, I would have gotten you a six-pack. Maybe like.
Oh, no. She likes this one. I knew that. Yeah. One.
Yeah. I would have gotten
so sure. Britt, what do you rate this one?
A four.
Because you rated the Shipyard a four.
What did I rate the Blue Moon?
Blue Moon, you rated it a 4.5. So where does this one sit with those?
I'm going to say 4.5 also.
Okay, 4.5, yeah. A tie. It's okay.
On par.
So I gave the Blue Moon a 4.8. I gave the Shipyard a 3.8. And I... fucking hell. You know what? I think I'm going to go with a 4.8 too. Like I gave the Blue Moon. I think... Yeah, I think it's up there. I'm going to give it a 4.8. Kim, what do you give it? You gave the Blue Moon a 3.7. Ooh, three. Okay, three. It's weird. This tastes very
actually,
pumpkin-y.
2.8.
What the?
Oh, okay, keep it three.
No, I mean, that's fine.
I'm just kidding. Three's fine.
Three. I mean, that's so crazy because, like, you could tell like, all our taste buds are different.
To me, the Blue Moon is better.
Okay, so, Britt, between this and the Blue Moon, which one do you think was better?
I like Blue Moon better a little bit, but just a little bit. This is really good.
Medicinal taste.
I think I like this one more.
Oh, you're on crack.
Probably. I don't know. I like it. It's probably the nutmeg. It might be the nutmeg.
And again, yeah. The Kugel for the
or the mixer. Allspice. Okay, so we have one more beer to go.
Oh, my God.
Anyone?
And it's a stout.
It's a stout. A pumpkin stout? Yes,
it's a pumpkin stout.
Wow, okay.
So,
oh, Frank, I
know,
drink
Frank, I'm sorry.
All these disgusting beers.
Yeah, I know. I wish you could, like.
It's okay, but I mean, just like sniffing them is good enough.
I mean, they do kind of taste how they smell because some of them don't have a very distinct smell, and then those don't have a very distinct taste. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you got one of those. Those are good.
You got the
the hairless dog.
Nameless hairless dog. Or the, what's it called? Dog head?
Yeah, the dog head fish. Right?
Dog fish head. Head fish. Dog.
What is it? Well, how do you say it?
Dog head.
Dog head fish.
I think it's dogfish head.
Dogfish head, okay.
The unlabeled
one.
Yeah, the unlabeled
we
one.
We should
the lab samples.
Well, I have a picture. Did you send me
Yeah, you sent it to me. Yeah. I posted on Instagram.
That one wasn't very, I mean, okay.
I don't want to get sued, though. They're going to be like, this is like our promo, our prototype. Like, why are you posting
this? So
how did you get a hold of this?
That's well, I mean, a great question.
Okay.
Well,
never mind. I'm not going to post it.
No. But so we had Britt and I sampled a beer
that's right. We didn't talk about it on the podcast. I'm like talking about it like.
Yeah. That I guess it's not on the market yet from.
Okay. Mario's going to have to edit
this
out.
Reverse that.
No. Well, it's not on the market. I won't say the name of the brewery.
If you want to hear the hidden messages, Backmaster's
in Paris. And
I think it was a sample beer. I think it was only handed out to a few people that requested it. It was okay. All I can say was that it was a bit of a rancid lemonade flavor.
We won't say where Frank got this beer.
No. Won't say anything. Nope. But it was an interesting flavor that I think they're still trying to tweak here and there. That's probably why they sent like sample batches to
give them some feedback
to people.
I stumbled upon your beer literally.
Yeah.
And I have some.
I have some comments.
Comments, yeah. Comments. All right. It looks like we're down to our last beer and our last comments on the episode. Mm-hmm. So Kim looks very scared.
It's a stout.
Ooh, it's a stout.
Did I already do all my
Can you get
songs?
another cup?
Yeah. Did, what about your songs, Frankie? You still have more songs, I bet.
Oh, you got more songs? Dude, you got more songs.
List. You see this?
Dude, if you got more songs, talk about the songs.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let y'all talk about the beers and stuff.
Oh, nah. We good. Go for it.
Well, no. I just want to mention some bands, too.
There's no fire.
And maybe some songs. I think some of the more obvious ones, like Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, yeah.
They're Devil Music. Hello.
Their attachment, you know, their attachment to the cults. The occult, and also to occult. You mentioned Cradle of Filth as well. Mm-hmm. Kiss, of course, another Kiss. Band.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. Very.
And there was also, mm-hmm. I don't know if you have this anywhere in your report, but there was actually a court hearing like over all this shit.
Yes.
Where, like, I think Dee Snider was part of it too. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Where,
that's
like,
right.
You know, where they
like
were.
Like a censorship.
Yeah, censorship mm-hmm. where they were like being accused of like all this shit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Knights in Satan Service is another one. the Cramps also, they're
yeah,
like an earlier psychobilly rockabilly type band who also have a very, I guess, horror theatric appeal to them. And also another song that I think needs mentioning is a song that features Michael Jackson by, well, it's a song by Roxwell that features Michael Jackson. The name of the song is called Somebody's Watching Me.
Wait a minute. Wait. Rewind that a little bit.
Okay, so an artist named Rockwell.
Yeah, okay, I know that.
Rockwell.
And I know the song. But
featuring Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's in that song?
Yeah, he sings the chorus.
He sings the part.
Really?
Uh-huh. You
know, yeah.
Feels like I guess I always got confused because I'm familiar with the video, music video.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Jackson's not in the music video.
No, he's not. No.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't know that.
You know,
that.
There are some other videos like that where like people who paired up didn't appear mm-hmm. in the video. But
I just didn't know that about that. That was like a one hit for him, right?
I think so. I think what happened, it was during the time when Rick James was really big. And everybody was seeking Rick James to produce their music. And like also at the time, Michael Jackson was a big name too. Uh-huh. So there was like that constant, like between the two of them, like, are we going to work with Rick James or are we going to work with Michael Jackson? Hmm. Pretty much. And yeah. And this Rockwell song, I think Michael Jackson is only credited as a producer.
Oh, but that's and his vocal, right?
It's his vocal, but I don't think he's credited for that.
Interesting.
That's weird. I'm super familiar with that song. I've heard it a fucking million times.
Good.
And yeah. Like, but like I never just, yeah, like I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I want to end off, well, I guess we didn't talk about Misfits either.
Oh shit. Misfits is on my fucking list, bro.
And that's a very obvious one.
Yeah. Okay. So Misfits, can I talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just want to talk about my favorite album.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So my favorite album, I think I talked about it one mm-hmm. episode back, is Famous Monsters. It came out in 99.
Yes.
So Famous Monsters, actually every track, I think I was explaining to you guys that every track is referencing a horror movie. And actually, Kim and I saw one of the movies that is referenced on that album. That's Pumpkinhead. We saw it in, I don't know if you guys seen Pumpkinhead. What's his name?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. He's in Alien versus Predator. He's in, oh my God, I can't remember his name right now.
Adrian Brody guy?
No. He's an older gentleman. He actually passed away already.
Oh.
Anyways, we saw Pumpkinhead. It has very cool, like, visual effects. The story is a little eh. Anyway, Famous Monsters. When I was doing my research on Misfits, I actually found out that they have 51 songs that have the same name as the horror movies that they're referencing.
Oh.
51. Okay. So they have like, I guess just right off the bat, I can name all like Pumpkinhead, Day of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
Friday the 13th, Halloween 2. Yeah. So there's like, so basically when I was doing my research, I found out there was 51. But yeah, they're very horror influenced from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, they were the ones that pioneered the whole horror punk thing.
Right.
But yeah, Misfits, I mean, mm-hmm. like I said, one of my favorite albums is Famous Monsters, and that's one that I'm trying to add to my collection in vinyl form.
Yeah.
I fucking love that album. Also, Walk Among Us is fucking awesome album. I don't know what you have to say about Misfits, but that's what I have to say about
Misfits. Yeah, no, I was going to say that about Misfits, and also I want to mention two festivals that happen around Halloween time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The Aftershock Festival in Sacramento for the last 5 years has been happening around Halloween, and also the one that everybody goes to, I guess, around this time is the Voodoo Fest in New uh-huh. Orleans. And of course, those two festivals have been canceled this year. They've been postponed to 2021. But Voodoo Fest was one that I've always wanted to go to, and it doesn't even matter like what the lineup. Well, I mean, it does matter.
Yeah.
But still, just to go to a festival
in New Orleans
yeah. for Halloween,
yeah, that'd be badass.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've been wanting to put that. I mean, COVID fucked everything up, dude. I'm surprised you didn't mention Rammstein at all.
I was gonna.
I got Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, you did get Marilyn Manson. Yeah, I guess.
That's but we can't mention Michael Jackson and not mention Thriller at Halloween.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Thriller. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I mean that's like
Vincent Price does the intro. I mean that's iconic, right?
And I remember going through the. Going like through the Woodlawn area, like every other house that was like set up like super fucking crazy had Thriller playing.
Really?
Like, yeah, every other house. Yeah, it was fucking crazy.
That's wild.
There was two songs that I heard. It was Thriller and the theme song to Halloween. Yes.
To Halloween, yeah. Not Ghostbusters.
Oh, actually, Ghostbusters is probably number three. But yeah, okay. Ghostbusters.
There's actually.
Why is Ghostbusters considered like Halloween? Mario was like because it's about ghosts, and I was like.
Well, because I was trying to explain to her because like she doesn't watch a lot of movies. I was like, there's movies that are like horror based that are like don't take place during Halloween that are considered Halloween movies.
Just because they're horror.
Yeah, like Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm. That's just a big like horror. I can't go on Christmas without watching Home Alone. Is that like the same deal? Like Home Alone's not really like a Christmas movie, but
it takes place during Christmas time.
Well, the second one does, right?
Both of them.
Both of them. Okay, yeah. I'm not super familiar. I mean, I am, but like I haven't seen. Christmas I have not seen Home Alone in four fucking.
Oh, well, you're watching. Well, that's a travesty. Mm-hmm. We're watching it this year.
Oh
all
shit.
Of us.
Okay. All right.
Just like anyway, Die Hard. Is I just a Christmas
like
Die
that
Hard,
yeah, to me was Die like Hard. My period, like my comparison.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I get it. It works.
I get it now.
What else were we talking about?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Yeah. And there's actually a Bollywood version of Thriller.
Interesting.
On YouTube. It's funny.
Okay. There was a Bollywood version of It, too. Didn't we watch
that's
the
right.
I think there's a Bollywood version of everything, I think, from what I've seen.
Yeah, I think there's, like, The Matrix as well.
You mentioned Michael Jackson. I don't know why I was going to say something. I forgot. Fuck. Well, while I think about that, this is our last beer. Mm-hmm. It's called Black O'Lantern. Oh, shit. The ABV is 6.66%. It's actually a perfect ending to our beer tasting. It's a chocolate pumpkin stout.
Stout.
Yes. So it is a stout. Oh, let's see what it has. Frankenbrew, blah, blah, blah. So it's from Wasatch Brewery from Salt Lake City, Utah. And as I said before, 6.66 hail stand.
It smells chocolatey.
Brewed with pumpkin and spices, and of course it has some chocolatiness to it. Mm-hmm. All right, ladies, let's give it a taste.
I don't have any.
You don't? Who the fuck did I pour it for?
You gave her like two servings.
Oh shit. Yeah. I guess I was talking too much.
Right.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was like, wait a minute.
Like, why do I have so much in this can? Like, okay, go for it.
All right.
Brett, you taste it?
Oh, I don't know if I want it.
I did taste it. I quite like it.
Okay, let's see. I do like stouts. I do look for them, so.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my God.
Again, Britt, I'm so sorry. This tastes like fucking ashtray. Again.
We didn't get a Black and Mild.
Oh, that's right.
We didn't get a Damn it. You guys were in charge of that shit.
I know. We
I like this beer.
I'm gonna get one.
It's so crazy how like I get
you
the stouts
smoking a Black and Mild. That if you like
the stouts, that I don't like.
Don't get me hooked.
You like, yeah, that's God. Yeah. We don't want to get you hooked to smoking, but this is like
I think for a stout, this is really smooth.
This has a very.
This is like licking an ashtray that somebody spat in after they chewed tobacco and smoked a cigarette at the same time
and ate some Hershey's.
Yeah, this is.
Because it tastes like
this
chocolate.
Is like drinking dip water.
I don't taste any chocolate. I don't
she
taste
says
any pumpkin.
She takes another chug.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna give this like a. I'm gonna give it a 1.2. Because I could probably finish it, but not after all this. Brett, what do you give it?
To save my
really, that's.
I'm sorry. It tastes horrible to me.
I'm going 3.6. I like this beer, y'all.
Okay, 3.6.
You know, it's nice and smooth. It's chocolatey.
One.
Maybe
can
if
I
you
give it like less than that, because this is bad.
I think maybe if you pinch
you know
your
what?
Nose,
I'm gonna match you. Wait, I'm gonna give it a one.
Yeah, like if you try pinching your nose and drinking it, it might help.
Pinching your nose.
Pinching your nose. Okay. I don't know. I don't know why.
The sweet ass Lena Kugel.
Look, Kim knows when I go, when we go to the store, I like to get stouts. I do like stouts. Mm-hmm. Actually, the one I showed you guys earlier, the upside down one, that's a stout.
Okay.
I like stouts, but for some reason, on the show when we have stouts, they taste like fucking cigarettes to me. And Britt likes them, and I feel bad because I'm like, this tastes like shit.
We're getting her black
and
white.
It's okay. But it just means I get more.
Well, I mean, I could have given you more, but I put my COVID lips on this.
Bastard.
I don't. Good. And I took two sips. I'm gonna take a third one just to.
I drink all my chaser already. The Lena Kugel. I had to.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I'm gonna eat some of that cookie.
I'm sorry.
Cake too. And wash that down. That was
okay.
Good.
So with that, does anyone have any closing remarks on Halloween and Halloween stuff? Like anything else Halloween related that y'all like when it comes to music? No.
Not music related. I did just want to point out that tomorrow is Halloween and it's a full moon.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's not just any full moon, it's a blue moon, right?
Yes.
Because we've had a full moon already in October, which is really cool and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's perfect for backmasking. So if you're home alone and you're not trick-or-treating because of COVID,
bored.
Just start getting all those records and playing them backwards.
COVID ruined my Halloween party. I really wanted to have a Halloween.
Yeah, I know.
Next year.
And I didn't
but
do my...
not a Saturday this year.
Oh, that's true.
And the hour.
True.
You get an extra,
get an extra hour. Yeah.
That's true.
The perfect Halloween
exactly.
party weekend.
It is.
And COVID fucked
Trump.
It up. I mean,
unless you're... unless you're willing to risk getting infected...
I mean, unless
but,
you know who you're...
Yeah, unless you know.
The four of us
everybody
can have
had,
a Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have to be like that very insensitive thing that Kim Kardashian posted recently. She was like, after weeks of quarantining and everybody got tested, I took all my friends to a private island so we could have a normal life for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I should have done that.
Yeah.
Should have been a
this is our
bitch,
private
like,
island.
Okay, you need to quarantine yourself for 2 weeks and then you get tested and then you can come to my party. And we'd be normal for like...
On a private island.
Yeah.
Cause
for
that's,
8 hours. Because that's so, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
Go Kim.
Yeah. Wait,
from
which
one
Kim?
From one Kim to another. Fuck you.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, we just about hit 2 hours, which is cool. So this was our Halloween episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Happy Halloween. Like I said, if you're listening to it on Saturday. But yeah, so we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think we broke a record. We had 11 beers this fucking episode.
Wow.
No wonder I feel this.
And
I drink that wine cocktail too.
We're going to probably try to sober up and eat some chips and pizza. And we'll probably listen to some music. And
we're going to have a dance party.
We're going to dance this off. And yeah, guys, we'll see you guys next week. I don't know what the topic's gonna be, but we'll have something pretty fun because I know we have some pretty fun ideas for these next episodes. But
because we're pretty fun people,
yeah, we're pretty fun,
yeah, we're
right?
pretty
as
fun.
You can tell. But yeah, all right, guys, we'll
happy
see you guys.
Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We'll see you guys
happy
next
Halloween.
Next week.
Cheers.
All right, later, guys. Okay.
Oh shit! It looks like we're back, guys. So there's one thing that we forgot to do. And we're going to try a drink that Britt discovered called
Dark
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Uh-huh. And I'll let her explain what it is, and we're going to do it.
Well, similar to the traditional half and half or black and tan that you drink, I guess, maybe around St. Patty's Day, a Dark Pumpkin is pumpkin beer mixed with Guinness Stout, of course, which is awesome. And it's pretty fitting because Halloween is an Irish holiday. So, whoa, that was my Guinness.
It's the Dark Pumpkin, Frankie Brown.
That's right. Kim?
Do I have a glass?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I drank out of your glass because you gave it to me. So.
Oh, no. That wasn't my glass. That was for you because I know you had.
Do you have a. I already
no,
have
no,
a
no.
glass, though.
Well, that's the thing is that you had beer in your glass when she was getting the other beer. And I was like, oh, Britt's going to need another
I was
glass.
Like, why is she pouring just.
Why is she pouring something we already drank? But it's a
no. Yeah. These are two separate beers, mm-hmm. and I'm mixing them. Fancy. This is one is a Guinness and one is a pumpkin.
I want to try. Yeah.
So once it all settles, you'll be able to see like
with Bailey's.
The Guinness is gonna sit on top and the or vice versa. What time I can't remember.
Well, okay. Let me get me a glass. I'll be right back.
Well, you could see it already somewhat.
It's gonna start to separate out, and you should be able to
what
see.
What time does the liquor store open? I really want a Bailey's and pumpkin spice latte. I don't know. It just sounds
you like
really
that idea?
Good. Yes. I'm sure somebody's done it before, but I want to try it.
And this is one I'm pretty sure we've already had on the show. It's the Hairless Dog Black Ale.
Yeah, that we've had that one before. Yeah, definitely. Okay. That one, I don't remember what it tastes like, but I think we had that one a long time ago.
This one's good.
Yeah.
Guys, we've been doing this since like...
Yeah, this is...
June?
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while.
Like now. 5 months now or something?
Well, we're about to hit our 20th episode soon, so that's pretty cool. I know the glasses are dark.
Yeah, the glasses are dark.
But I love so you can't colored quite glass. See,
but
all right, tell us when it's ready.
Separated.
Yeah, you can see it somewhat.
So there's like a line somewhere around in the center where you can see that the...
Hold on.
Oh, he's going to turn the lights
off. Oh, the fader lights.
Your mood lighting.
The theater lights. I like that. Frank put it in. He said theater lights.
Theater lights. That's good.
Cute. Aww. I love it.
Yeah, you can somewhat see it.
It separates out.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't really tell because these.
So this is a common.
Damn, we should have got one of the fucking one. At least one. I screwed up. I should have got one of the fancy beer.
Dancy, pantsy glasses.
Yeah, I can see it, but it is hard to tell because it. The glass is colored.
All right. Well, when you give us a good to go, we'll
Give it a whirl. So it, you know, it's gonna taste like Guinness and pumpkin beer.
Okay. Let's see. Well, luckily Blue Moon is the one that's the good one.
Yes, Blue Moon is what we mixed. The Blue Moon. What is this called?
The Harvest Wheat.
Harvest Pumpkin Wheat.
Yeah.
Mixed with Guinness draft.
All right.
Hmm. I like it. It cuts the sweetness of the pumpkin beer. Mm,
yeah, it does. It's pretty smooth. I mean, I like it. It's not... I think... You had this before? No.
No, I'd never had this before. I've done the black and tans and the half and halves before with Guinness, which is Guinness and Harp.
It's smooth because of the Guinness when it combines. It takes away some of the spice from the pumpkin.
Yeah.
It's good though. I mean, I like it.
The head. I like the foam.
Yeah, I like the foam too. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with like a 4.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go a 4.5.
4.5. Okay.
Irish pride.
All right. So that was the last one we had, and that bumps us up to 12. So now what I have to do?
Wow.
Let's take a picture of that in the glass.
Yeah.
And then we'll post that on Instagram. And so now we'll see you guys next week. And it'll probably definitely be a hangover. So,
literally tomorrow and next
week. So, yeah, once again, happy Halloween. And we definitely crossed the 2 hour mark at 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Dang.
Awesome.
And 2 seconds. Number of the Weast.
Number of the Weast.
Later.
Perfect.
Later, guys.